da 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 da.
He's a real estate developer with an MBA. He'll gentrify your neighborhood so you can't stay. He is a top man at his craft. He invests with his friends who went to Dalton and Taft. In the East Village now, he's buying property. There'll be Ralph Lauren and Bugle Boy on Avenue B. Like Jim and Sue McDougal, he knows Uncle Sam. His previous accounting got him in a jam, but judges seem to understand. He got a slap on the wrist, they got a piece of the land, and soon the yuppies will jump at affordable property. There where Calvin Klein and Bugle Boy on Avenue B. I think, double income, no kids driving sleep boring cars, no GLPism. In a few years, the blues will have no black support or Rican dinner. Toot, and property values jump when he buys realty. They'll drink Starbucks and wear Bugle Boy on Avenue B. Bum, 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 bum.
He has one simple plan for making bucks on Avenue B.
First bring in lots of white gay men. There will be trendy bars and galleries.
And the Lord of Yuppies open up as they bars. They will pay $10 for Kugel
on Avenue B.
It will be fun when they can slum it with their chums and other straights and gay bars.
You can't blow up love if he makes sure his girlfriend's standing with him.
Let's clean up the neighborhood for families. He'll make it just like Darien on Avenue B. His lawyer sending fiction papers every night. His middleman make sure you're left without a right. The tenant's phone fax, stamp their fee. But you can't send a fax when all your stuff's in the street. But suddenly crime is down, the street's graffiti free. And he will win awards for saving Avenue B. Da, da,
thank you.
Da, da,
thank you very much.
Da, da,
I'd like to spank the little people.
Let's move all the poor to Schenectady. I hear there's land available on Avenue C.
Warning. The following program contains subject matter that portrays gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered people as first-class citizens, deserving of an equal share of the American dream. Topics like this are known to piss off televangelists, backwater preachers, some talk show hosts, blue-haired biddies, several members of Congress, and other socially unacceptable outcasts like radical right-wing nut jobs. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
You have tuned into After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude, a continuing tradition here on KPFT 90.1 FM. The crew of After Hours is ready to bring you news, interviews, discussions, and music dear to the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender community and our allies. We are a diverse group here, but we all have one thing in common. We are out of the closet and urge everyone to come out of his or her closet as well. That means recognizing who you are, standing up for yourself and your rights, and being proud of who you are. We understand that this might not be possible due to age, job, or frame of mind, but remember, we are here especially for you. So kick back and relax and get ready for this week's edition of After Hours.
Houston, Galveston, and the world. This is the November 21st edition of After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude. My name is Chris Harris, and I'll be your co-executive producer for this evening.
And I'm Jimmy Carper. I'm the longest-running one.
And I'm Wes Laverne, the newest one.
Because I said last week I said I'm the original one, but then I thought about it, I'm not the original one. The original one was Buddy Johnston, who is now in San Francisco. He was the producer for the first 3.5 years of the show, and I've been the producer for the rest of it.
Yeah.
So what's 3.5? What's 22 minus 3.5?
The oldest one.
Yeah.
We knew there was going to be an old joke in there somewhere.
I'm not making any more old jokes. That karma kicked me in the ass earlier.
Well, that's all your fault.
You mean dessert?
Yeah. I lost out on dessert because there was no snow on the roof.
What he's saying is,
karma's a bitch.
We had a wonderful dinner.
Yes, and there was a very cute waiter who liked them older, which kind of runs into a theme for tonight's show. Eva and Elizabeth are here, and they're going to be talking about...
Well, I wanted to play with age, not age play.
Age play, yeah.
So
yeah.
It'll be a fun time.
Yeah. So how's everybody's week? You've still got car problems going, don't you, Wes?
It's pathetic at this point. So, the saga continues.
Yeah. And Chris?
Yeah.
Okay. Anybody have plans for Thanksgiving? What's going on there?
Family.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I think Mom might try to do something. I'm not really sure at this point.
Yeah. I'm kind of up in the air, too. Judy and I are going to do something. We just don't know what yet.
But, because Thanksgiving, Mary's is not an option.
Well, it certainly isn't.
Well, I do have...
Oh, with a crowbar it is.
Well, you know, I did find out this week.
Yes.
And I'll announce it a little bit later on, but I did find out... Because the owners of Whispers Bar actually called me and said she's got a few things coming up that she would like to let everybody know about.
Sure.
So,
the Little Gay Bar in Humble.
Yes, the Little Gay Bar in Humble.
Do you know what the things are yet?
Or? Yeah, I sure do. I've got them written down right here. The first one actually is going to be next week for Thanksgiving.
Well, why don't we just go right into that?
All right. Well, Whispers Bar right there, 226 First Street in Humble, Texas, on Thanksgiving Day, they're going to have a traditional Thanksgiving dinner, which will start at 6 p.m.
Oh.
So for anybody that doesn't have family or
you just want to, you know.
Or you just don't feel like cooking yourself or whatever the case may be.
Or you escape from your family, you want to go for dessert.
Exactly. They're going to have Thanksgiving dinner over there, again, starting at 6 p.m. And then
that's always kind of fun, you know. I always thought, you know, earlier in my life, I always thought, ooh, that's so tragic, spending Thanksgiving in a gay bar. But it isn't. It's a lot of fun because you are with your family.
In a way,
in
yes,
a gay
you are.
Bar. Yes, yeah. Yes.
And in this case, you're actually going to, it's not just going to be a gay bar. You're actually going to be sitting down and having a traditional Thanksgiving dinner.
Oh.
So.
Okay.
It'll be nice. And then the second thing that they've got coming up on December 5th at 4 p.m., they're going to have Whispers in Wonderland.
Is this a show?
It's actually a show plus a benefit.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to have Eddie Taylor, Mr. TGRA 2009.
I know him.
And for those that don't know what TGRA stands for, that's the Texas Gay Rodeo Association.
Yes.
He's going to be there along with Shay Champagne and Chris Volk, Mr. BRB.
Chris Volk.
Mr. BRB 2010.
Yeah.
They're going to be there. They're going to be putting on a show and everything.
That's great because Chris is huge in the lesbian community.
Yeah. So it's going to be a good thing there. They're going to have a couple things going on. Number one, they're going to have a traditional Christmas dinner starting at 6 p.m.
Wait a minute. Christmas dinner.
Christmas dinner on December 5th.
Oh, okay.
This is on December 5th. They're going to have a traditional Christmas dinner, so they're going to have all the fixins and everything and all that good stuff. And they're also going to have good old Saint Nick there.
Aww. And you can sit, go and sit on Santa's lap.
Yeah, and you get to have your picture taken with Santa.
Aww.
And I have been told that the pictures, there will be a fee for the pictures,
mm-hmm.
and the pictures are going to go... I believe they said it's going to go towards TGRA.
Okay.
If I remember correctly. They're also going to have a couple other things going on. If you want to bring any toys in.
Mm-hmm.
It's,
for the toy drive?
They're going to have a little toy drive.
Toys for tots, not toys for twats.
Right.
Well, actually, it's... they've actually chosen a family in the community.
Really?
That they're going to take all these toys to the kids for.
Oh, man, that's great.
Or, if you don't want to bring in a toy, they've asked if you could bring in some, like, toiletries or stuff like that. Because they also have an adopt-a-vet. In other words, an adopt-a-veteran. Homeless veterans.
Oh, no kidding.
Stuff like that. That they're going to put these... backpack slash duffel bag slash whatever you want to call it together, and it's going to have all sorts of toiletries and blankets and stuff like that in it.
Cool.
So if you want to bring something for that, they're taking those and going to put and take it to some vets that are out there that need this stuff.
That is so fun.
So they're going to have all that going on, dinner at 6, and to wrap it up and have a nice fun time, they're going to have a drag show at 8 o'clock.
Yay.
So... lots going on there at Whispers Bar.
Where are they located?
226 First Street in Humble.
Humble.
To find out more, if you want to find out more about what's going on, they do have a website, whispersbar.com.
Okay.
I have checked it out. It's actually a pretty simple little website, but it's got all the good stuff on there.
That's all you need.
So, and they're fast becoming friends of mine up there.
I see that.
I mean, the owner's got my cell phone number. Shit. In
Whoa.
Fact, I wouldn't be surprised if she got me on speed dial. And she tells me that the bar has become fast fans of After Hours, and they're going to start tuning in to our sister program on Monday nights.
Great.
Queer Voices.
Great. Queer Voices, yeah.
There. So... big shout out to Whispers. So
you bet.
Let's get out there and help Whispers.
Now that's what a neighborhood bar is about.
And you know, Kathy was telling me that they were getting down on their luck, and the first show that we announced Whispers Bar when my friend Mariah Taylor came in, and did her little benefit for them.
Uh-huh.
Business has started booming.
Well, good.
So I'm glad to hear that. Well, I'm glad that we've still got small gay town USA going on there in Humble.
Well, you see, it's getting the word out, and that's what we're all about here. And
and
especially in smaller communities, you know, you don't have gay press. Of course, you know,
we don't have it in the big city.
We don't have it here either.
City, so.
But, you know, you can't even get outsmarts. Very few places out there, and so you don't know what's going on. So you know we're it, and we do have a lot of listeners.
Yeah, and we do, and I'm noticing that by our Facebook page and all the friends that we're getting on there. We are now over 100 friends on our Facebook.
Wow.
Page.
Yeah, you just started that thing.
We just started that 2 weeks ago, and we've already got over 100 friends on there.
Wow.
So.
I'll bet you they do have Outsmart out there because they advertise at Outsmart.
Oh, well, the bar does, but that's about the only place you're going to find an Outsmart. I mean, it's not like you're going to go to the barbershop and pick up an Outsmart to find out where the bar is.
Okay, the only other establishment you're going to find in Humble that would have that would be an adult bookstore.
Yeah,
probably.
Unless you go over to the Woodlands and go
and
to
they
the
don't
bar
even,
over in the Woodlands.
You know, they don't even carry Outsmarts in bookstores in Houston.
So. But, yeah.
And you've done plenty of research on that.
Yeah, I have.
He has.
Oh, yeah.
Of course he has. So.
That's cool.
Good stuff going on at Whispers. I want to thank Kathy and her partner.
You bet.
So,
you bet.
Let's help them out some more.
So, Chris, I think you start out, don't you?
Sure. Ask the man eating a cookie.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good timing on that stuff because, you know, I had a cookie in my mouth at the point when you said, you know, Chris Falk's a big lesbian.
She's big in the lesbian community. I did not say she's a big lesbian.
Let's go to the rewind. I believe you said Big Old Dyke.
No.
We'll listen to the archive later.
She's not old.
So, yeah. Lots of good stuff going on there.
Okay.
The candidates for Emperor and Empress XXVI of Eresus, Falcon Matt Gill and Sherri-Ann Boughton, present Two Girls... I'm sorry. Take
well, you're almost right.
Take two. Two guys, a girl, and a patio chair. This is a Drag in a Bag benefit on Sunday.
Sunday.
November 22nd.
Yeah, like later on.
Back into the left day. It's starting at 7 p.m. over at the BRB, 2400 Brazos. This is benefiting Legacy and Hatch, and 10% going to Chaos through the rain that's about to end.
Yes.
They take plastic.
Of course they take plastic.
Plastic what?
Visa, MasterCard, and
American Express.
I was wondering if anybody was going to fall into that joke.
Yeah, no.
All right.
Later, when we play the dildo song.
Thursday, December 3rd, Matt Gill would like to serve up meat at Chances.
I'll bet he... And he's got a lot of it to serve up, I'll bet.
At,
You cough. You choke on the big one. So.
Hey, it's 12 ounces.
I see.
Oh, 12 ounces of ribeye, a baked potato, two other sides, a dinner roll, and a domestic beer or well drink, all for $9.50.
That's a cool deal.
That's a hell of a deal.
Over at Chances Bar at 6:30.
What date is this?
On Thursday, December 3rd. Steak night at Chances. And... okay, I'll do this one because it's somewhat close there. On Friday, December 11th, Lions, Mooses, and Bears, Oh My, a show at Crocker. This will be a direct benefit show for the El Cito Foundation. Please come out and meet the representatives from the foundation. Bring a new teddy bear to donate or buy one at the show. The El Cito Foundation provides teddy bears for children affected with HIV and other diseases.
Oh, that's cool.
On that, let's just stay with the Arisa stuff here.
Okay.
Falcon Fur, candidate for Emperor XXBI of Arisa's, presents a very berry Christmas.
Aww.
They benefit for Hatch on behalf of the Houston area Bears through Rain XXV. This is going to be on Saturday, December 5th at Tony's Corner Pocket, starting at 8 p.m. Benefits go to the usual suspects.
Yes.
And... Okay, does someone have the other ones from Arisa's? His Santa stuff?
What Santa stuff?
Okay, because we're missing a Santa story here.
I don't think so.
I've got this one here.
No?
Yeah, that must be it.
Hot Jock Auction, presented by candidate for Emperor XXVI Varisa's Falcon, on Saturday, December 5th at 11:30 p.m. at the Ripcord, 715 Fairview. This is the one prize you'll want to personally claim.
Ooh.
It's a benefit for Thomas Street Clinic Toy Drive on behalf of NLA Houston. Proceeds to the usual suspects, because there was supposed to be a...
Well, that's... The one you just did before, the very, very Christmas...
He has three events that night.
Three?
Yeah.
I only had two.
Remember at the HCC meeting?
Yeah, that's right.
There was three events. There was three. There's a get your picture taken with Santa.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I believe it's... I'm going to say it's the BRB.
Ooh.
In between the two.
Oh.
And then Santa is going over to the Ripcord.
Yeah, that's right.
Because the...
For the jock contest.
Yeah, and... and it's going to be Mr. Leather Houston.
Yeah, who's going to be
is going to be
wearing them,
being Santa.
Santa. Yeah.
So, that's in between the two events.
Okay, you're right. And
sweet Jesus, I was paying attention to the Louis meeting.
Heaven forbid!
I can't believe it my own self,
and especially the way I was that night.
Mm-hmm.
Also on December 5th, from 9:30 p.m. to 2:30 a.m. over at the Drake, which is at 1902 Washington Avenue, Suite E.
Ooh.
Regina Findlay and Skirt Productions present Sin Houston, the hottest and largest lesbian dance party in Texas.
You're kidding!
Celebrity guest appearances by I can't read what the hell it says.
I can't either. Anybody we know?
I can't read the damn thing. Your printer is horrible.
Well, because it's a big thing and it does small and I...
Size queen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Looks like three lesbians. One looks Hispanic, one looks...
Oh, that's nice.
Butch, and one looks, I don't know. Like I said, that is on Saturday, December 5th at the Drake. You can find out more information. This is a benefit for his sisters. Throw that part in there. Check them out at sinpartyhouston.com, and you can get advanced tickets there.
Oh.
Hey Man, Wake Up, MKP, Houston Org, something going on December 4th through the 6th. Okay. Mankind Project Houston, go to mkphouston.org.
Okay.
My turn again?
You pulled the plug.
Beep. Oh, my.
You realize that, you know, as you were running to Mikey, you just couldn't reach, huh?
That's something like that.
Something like that.
Got to make sure that Jimmy's got a DNR on file.
What?
Do not resuscitate, Marlon. Do not resuscitate.
If somebody's pulled the plug on you, we got to make
sure. He pulled the plug on himself.
Yeah.
He pulled the plug on himself.
All right. Nancy Ford says, happy almost holidays. It's been my pleasure to work with all of you this past year in various capacities via your generous community fundraisers or our work at Outsmarts. She's asking now, as you make plans on your busy holiday calendar, that you also plan on attending her annual holiday extravaganza. Let's see. It's a wacky evening with her cohorts from Kindred Spirits Foundation. As they go and screen the Judy Garland Christmas special from 1963, friends from the Bayou City Women's Chorus will provide special seasonal music. Plus, they're going to have a caroling sing-along, a delightful raffle, and even provide you with a delicious buffet.
Ooh.
There's a $20 donation that which is going to benefit the fine women's programs of Assist Hers, Bearing Support Network, Houston Buyers Club, and the Lesbian Health Initiative Houston.
Right.
It's going to be a wildly entertaining evening of seasonal fun on Sunday.
Sunday.
December 6th at 6 p.m. At In-N-Out.
Oh, that's where they're holding it.
Yep, over at In-N-Out.
The annual Judy Garland sing-along.
Yep. Moving right along, again on that. Oh, geez, it's going to be a packed night that night.
It is. The 6th is really heavy with stuff going on.
Yep.
The Another fat lesbian joke?
No.
No, not in this case. The Empire of the Royal Sovereign Imperial Court of the Single Star Inc. presents Lights of Love Houston 2009 and the Aresis Christmas Show.
Yes.
Hosted by Empress 27 Barbara Walker and Grand Duchess 25 Natasha Nicole Siebert on Sunday.
Sunday.
December 6th at 6:30 p.m. They're going to have a light buffet. 7 p.m., they're going to have names reading at the Brazos River Bottom.
Oh.
The Christmas show is hosted by Emperor 25 Bob Bouton?
Bouton,
okay. And Empress 25 Renee Monroe.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, goodness, this all ran together.
Empress 25, I don't think that's right.
Well, that's, oh, I'm sorry, I'm reading this wrong. Let me,
That must be Emperor 15 and...
Yeah, the Christmas show is Emperor 15 and Empress 15. I'm sorry. And that's going to be at 8 p.m. over at the Brazos River Bottom. These are benefits for Legacy Community Health Services and Hatch through Coronation 26.
With 10% to chaos.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
A.K.A. The Usual Suspects.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The Red Ribbon Toy Party, benefiting AIDS Foundation Houston, hosted by the Hotel Derrick on Sunday, December 6th.
Sunday.
11 a.m. to 3 p.m.
Hotel Derrick? That sounds like a hoity toity.
It is.
Oh.
It's in the Galleria.
Yeah.
Mm.
Valentio? Sunday Fun Day. Yes, yeah, a Sunday Fun Day brunch. They're going to have music and bottomless cocktail bar.
A bottomless cocktail bar. Insert your own joke here.
Exactly. Reservations are strongly encouraged. Then at 5 to 6 p.m., there's going to be a VIP welcome reception in the Great Room. And then from 6 to 11, they're going to have a toy party in the Bravo Ballroom and Living Room.
That's like all day.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be a big one. There's general admissions and VIP tickets. Attendance is limited to 500, and you must be 21 years of age or older.
Oh.
In order to attend.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hotel Derrick and AIDS Foundation Houston invites you to their first annual Red Ribbon Toy Party. So it's going to be a big one. Hotel Derrick is going to be on the lobby level and living room, and this is at 2525 West Loop South.
Okay.
At Westheimer.
Yeah. So.
Okay.
That's a big one there.
Cool.
to say the very least.
Yeah. The Bayou Bunch is doing their 2009-2010 concert season. They're going to have lots of stuff going on there.
When's the December ones?
We got December 5th and 8th. They're going to have Winter Light over at the Unity Church.
That's the Bayou.
And that's
the women's
the Bayou
chorus.
City's women's yeah. chorus. A Twisted Holiday by the Gay Men's Chorus of Houston on December 15th at Jones Hall. Those are the December ones.
Okay.
Those are further along. Let's see what I got. Very briefly, we're going to do this one. Men's Health Lecture, where we're going to have two experts sharing their knowledge on Saturday, December 15th at 6 p.m. at the United Way. That's at 50 Waugh Drive. Let's see what's...
Just the information on the front should do it.
Yeah. All you need to know about testosterone replacement therapy, sports nutrition, exercise, micronutrition supplements,
mm-hmm.
Or supplementation, so I think, other therapies to improve lean body composition and metabolism, sexual function, energy levels, mood, and general quality of life. Their speakers are going to be Dr. Michael Scali and Nelson
Virgil.
Seating is limited. Reservations are encouraged. Light snacks will be provided. And you can RSVP to lecture reservation at gmail.com.
Those two men are experts from Houston in men's health. Not necessary. Not limited to HIV/AIDS, but overall men's health. And there's been a lot in the news lately about testosterone replacement in older men. So they're going to have up-to-the-minute stuff on that. So it's a pretty important thing to go to.
And I got one more here.
Okay.
The Empire of the Royal Sovereign Imperial Court of the Single Star Inc. presents crazy, campy, and clever Christmas carols for the complete crew to love. And all of that was with K's.
Yes, it is.
Yes. Hosted by candidate for Emperor 26, Falcon.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be on at 2 p.m. on Saturday, December 19th, over at EJ's Bar, which is at 2517 Ralph Street. What an appropriate name for a street to have a bar on.
Ralph?
Yeah.
Everybody's brother talks to him.
Yeah. Yep. This
and
is
when you drink too much, that's what you go outside and do.
Exactly.
You talk to Ralph.
Yep. Yeah. This is a benefit for the crew of Olympus Charities through Rain 25.
That's why it was all K's.
Yep. With 10% of all the proceeds going to the Kimberly Ann O'Neill Believe in a Dream Scholarship Fund.
Okay. A couple of little things here. Well, not little things, big things. Mr., Miss, and Ms. BRB 2010 Contest. A true Southern BRB tradition. Application and entry fee deadline is Sunday, December the 6th. By 12 midnight, pick up applications either online at the brb.com or at the bar. The contest.
BRBHouston.com, isn't it?
Huh? BRB Houston, is that it?
Isn't that what the website
is? It doesn't say.
Oh.
The contest is not until March 12th, but you have to have your entry and application in by Sunday, December the 6th. So. A little forewarned, and I know at least one person who's running. The Daddy Boy Project is collecting toy donations for the 15th annual AFH Red Ribbon Toy Drive. This drive serves children living and affected by HIV/AIDS. Please donate your unwrapped gifts appropriate for children ages birth to 12-year-old now until December the 9th. Drop-off locations are at the BRB, Georgia's 611, EJ's, and Michael's Outpost. More locations coming soon. For more information, go to dubcubed.daddyofmontrose.org or dubcubed.boyofmontrose.org. And you should be talking about this because I'm going to be keeping this in here. Reminding folks that Louie is coming up next, early next year, February 18th through the 21st. Last year's attendance topped 1,100 people from 33.
We had the bottom. Jimmy, would, now we
Jimmy
have
would. Jimmy would know about the topping that went on.
Oh, yes, I would. 33 states and the U.S. in five different countries. Will we break last year's attendance record? We don't know yet.
Yeah, because I'm not sure if the Italian's coming back.
Yeah, you never know. He may.
It's always nice
he
to
had
have a little
good time.
You know, it's always nice to have a little Italian sausage.
Yes, it was.
I don't think we're talking about the same Italian, because the Italian's actually part of the Houston Big Men's Club, so I know who he is.
Oh, not that one.
No.
Okay. Okay. Anyway, just reminding you that Louis's coming up early next year. And that's it. Let's go to a piece of music and bring on Eva and Elizabeth.
Sounds great.
Hi, you've reached... joining us here in studio is from Whip Society, Ava and Elizabeth, and they've got some guests. And the show's been a couple months in the making. We talked about this after a HCC meeting, and interesting topic. We're just having a little discussion after a meeting. And what, about an hour and a half into the conversation, I go, hold on, get people together for this. We're going to do this on air.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's the best way of getting things together, was it was such a fascinating topic with your the round table that you kind of assembled there on the side of Tony's. And so we're here now for it.
We've been kind of doing that with other people in other settings as well, online and live, and, you know, just at any table, just anywhere, wherever we're going. Even I've been real curious, you know, to see what people think about this particular fetish. And it's amazing how every conversation was intriguing, interesting, different, fascinating, and we think it's going to make really good radio tonight. Yeah. Thank you, Chris and Jimmy, for inviting us to the KPFT After Hours show tonight. We are delighted to be here to talk about our favorite subject, which is fetish, fantasy, and fulfillment. We want to ask, what is a fetish? It is an object of attraction that causes irrational or abnormal fixation or preoccupation. What is a fantasy? That which comes from one's imagination. Fulfillment, the act of consummating a desire or a promise. Tonight's fetish fantasy is age play. We'll be talking about with consenting adults who engage in very intriguing age play fetish as caretakers, along with their pacifier sucking, diaper wearing, crayon toting adult babies and littles, and of course those naughty or not little boys, girls, and their doting daddies or mommies.
Curse that page turn to delay.
Yeah. Hi, I'm Elizabeth, and hosting with me tonight is my wife, Eva. Together, we are the founder and producers of Women in Power Society, a pansexual leather Levi BDSM fetish legal adult entertainment and social club since 1998. Whip Society has been live on stage with BDSM fetish performances and demos in Houston, Austin, and San Antonio, as well as private parties and sessions including fire play, hot wax, electrical play, temporary and permanent piercings, floggings, whips, bondage, and suspension with rope and chain, mummification, and a host of other fun activities. Keeping in tradition with our teaching and sharing philosophy, we thought age play just seemed like a great fetish to start off with what we hope will become an ongoing series of presentations on fetish fantasy fulfillment. A little bit about Whip Society also. We're members of the Houston Council of Clubs. I think y'all were talking earlier about Louis Weekend.
Yes.
The Houston Council of Clubs' primary agenda is to produce the 37-year-old Leather Levi event called Let Us Entertain You Weekend. We've been members, I think, for about 10 years off and on. The last time we were on the After Hours show was in February to talk about the upcoming parlor party for the women of Louis at Tony's Corner Pocket, which is Whip Society's home bar. Happy to report that the event was a great success, complete with photos on the internet to prove it. We had a really good time. Tony's was very accommodating, and we had a really lot of fun.
It was a nice little setup you had there on the side with the to put on your little you put on your demonstrations and events for the both women and men. There was.
Yes, we did. We do not discriminate. Whip Society is open to both men and women, and that night was a first of a kind for HCC to have a very specific set for just the women, but men were invited. It wasn't exclusively for women. It was just to highlight the Women in Power Society so that we could entertain the women of Louis. And it ended up being a lot of fun. We're going to do something similar this year, just not as, I don't think, as flamboyant or extravagant or whatever. We're going to do it around serving our cocktail. It's still going to be really nice. If you'd like to go to the internet for more information about Age Play, there are many resources we found and would be happy to share them with you. You can contact us, Eva-Elizabeth at whipsociety.net, or visit our website, which is whipsociety.net. On our website, whipsociety.net, we do have a contacts page so that you can always reach us just by getting to the website. You don't have to remember our email address at the moment. Some of the things that I was noticing was that there are a lot of recommended reading, a lot of websites out there, Wikipedia, there was Kinky Wiki, there was LondonFetishScene.com, there was Spanking Art Wiki, there was just all kinds of, you know, websites out there. And I have a short list of what I thought were my favorites. One of my favorites was BDSM-Texas.com, where I found a very attractive, up-to-date site with meeting activities local here in Houston. I think that's a SIG that's hosted by HPEP, and it had games and stories and a coloring book page. I thought it was kind of cute. Okay, if you would like to play or download a replay of this show, what KPFT does is they archive their shows, and you can go later to look it up in their website under archive, and then find XML and then /afterhours.xml. And look on the date, whatever date it is that you're looking for. And
look for the Sunday.
For the Sunday. And you can download it. You can either play it or download it. So you can always listen to the show again later for about, what, is it 60 days?
30 or 60 days. But if you go to gcam.org, our shows are archived there for perpetuity.
Oh, okay. Let's see. Or you can just go to the website and you can get an RSS or full feed. We are opening the lines for calls. I do have some. We've invited some guests to give us a call this evening. But non-judgmental comments and questions are welcome. If you would like to call the radio station, call 713-526-5738. That's 713-JAM, J-A-M, K-P-F-T. Someone will take your message, and we will try to address your question or comment during the show. Joining us will be guests phoning in from the West Coast, Midwest, and East Coast, along with local guests, HPEP Chairman, Daddy Rich, and Scotty. We also have Marie with us tonight. Houston People Exchanging Power, HPEP, is a pansexual BDSM fetish organization with many support groups, including special interest groups, or SIGs. One of those SIGs we'd like to hear more about later from Master Rich is the Age Play SIG. Before we get started, I want to make some comments on judging others. There is no authority, appointed or elected, not one single person that is in charge of judging what is or isn't acceptable between consenting adults in the Leather Levi BDSM fetish kink community. As we talk about age play tonight, it may bring up some strong emotional or negative reactions. Being the eldest daughters of Southern women, and myself, a product of a Catholic upbringing, Eva and I were taught well to keep our judgments in check and that our negative opinions are best kept to ourselves. Non-judgmental comments, again, are welcome, and questions. If you'd like to call the radio station, call 713-526-5738. Someone will take your message, and we will try to address it during the show. Now, let's start talking about fetish fantasy. How do we make it a reality?
Do you see you had one of your schedules?
Oh, I see we have a first scheduled call. Let me go ahead and say make a few more comments, and then okay. We'll open the line to our caller. Now, how do we make the fetish fantasy a reality? Provided you've already begun networking with groups like FetLife, HPEP, WIPS, or Arrows, or any of the other fine groups in Houston and or in the world, and begun meeting people in public places and private parties, not just online, these are very basic ideals that would apply to any type of play. How we end up fulfilling a fantasy is ultimately dependent on our ability to reach out and connect with others. We talk, we explore, we learn whether or not there is a mutual interest. We voice our boundaries or limits with phrases like, I don't like it when, or I can't, or I don't want to, and we voice our desires, what we crave, or what we need. When it's time to make that fantasy a reality, you would begin with negotiating the scene. You negotiate the scene so that everyone involved is clear on what role they are playing, what the limits are, or boundaries, and don't forget to determine that very important safe word. Okay, I think this would be a good segue to our caller. And let's see, I believe this is going to be, can we, how do I get the call?
I'll turn it on in here, because I have to say something before, as soon as they're clicked on, so FCC regulation. And just to remind you, we're going to have to take a break at the 2 minutes to the top of the hour on that.
Okay.
So, just have to step away for 2 minutes then, so. Caller, you are on the air.
Hello?
Hello? There we go. Caller, you're on the air.
Can you hear me?
There
this is Benny.
There you are.
Okay, Benny,
there I am.
Okay, so just so you know, you are on the air at this time.
Fantastic. So my name is Benny. I'm an age player and a BDSM educator. I'm located up in Madison, Wisconsin, so I'm a bit of a ways from you guys.
Well, glad you could call in. Really good to hear from you. And I was thinking this is a really good segue. This was a really good point to bring you in. I was about to read probably something you wrote on Wiki.
The Kinky Wiki? I am the one who wrote that, in fact.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, we have the author on the phone with us right now to talk about what he contributed or what you wrote to Wiki. And what I'd like to do is sort of describe what is age play. And then ask the, of course, you have to ask whenever you're talking about age play, what is pedophilia?
The difference between age play and pedophilia is a pretty big one, and the way that I tend to compare it is that it is the same thing as the difference between playing a video game in which you kill people and actually killing somebody. Age play is a type of role play in which someone takes on the role of a person whose age is different than theirs. This is usually an adult playing the role of a child. The difference between age play and pedophilia is that in pedophilia there is an actual child involved, and in age play there are no actual children involved. So very much in that same way as a video game comparison, in a video game you don't actually kill real people, and it would be wrong to actually kill real people. So it's sort of that differentiation between fantasy and reality.
That's right. I was kind of sort of, using the example that a person who is into bestiality, where they have a sexual attachment to real animal, is that they would not be satiated if they were to have sex, for example, with a stuffed animal, something that isn't real. You know, it isn't really an animal, it's a toy. And people seem to get that, too.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty fair comparison also. I think that I tend to use the video game reference because that is something so many people have done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so a lot of people can say, oh, yeah, I played, World of Warcraft, and I enjoyed killing other digital people in there in a fantasy environment, and they can really understand that that's, like, really, really not real. And in the same way, age play is, now it takes place in the real world instead of the digital world, but still, it is very clearly about fantasy and very clearly about interactions between adults, and that does not necessarily have any relation to an interest in actual children. Age players are not pedophiles. I'm sure that there are a few that are, but the difference is very stark.
Well, thank you for doing that. Something else I wanted to point out, and I needed to know if that was okay with you. Can I also tell them that you're a group leader of a particular group?
Absolutely, yeah. I am the president of the Satyricon educational group up in Madison, Wisconsin. I'm also the proprietor of the Never Grown Up store where I sell clothing and mostly for the age play and adult baby community.
Okay. And you're also the group leader, along with another member, and I don't want to say her name yet, of people who love age play.
Oh, yeah, I am on the FetLife website. I am one of the group moderators for the People Who Love Age Play group. It is the largest age player-related group on FetLife. I'm not the person who originated that group. The original moderators have left, and she and I took it over at that point. And there's a lot of really interesting discussions going on in there. So people who are already on FetLife, it's definitely worth checking out that group and seeing some of the things that people are discussing.
Yeah, well, it has over 2,000 members, and I noticed that you have about 150 discussions that you moderate or monitor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's
some of
pretty
the
amazing.
I'm sorry?
That's pretty amazing. I mean, you know, just the interest in this subject matter is why we're here tonight. But I just thought that really is telling the numbers, you know.
Yeah, there's a lot of groups in the digital world that are taking on these subjects, and but one of the things that I think is the most interesting about the growth of age play as an accepted practice within the BDSM community is that there are more and more conferences and real world events that are including age play as a part of their events. There's several events up here in Madison, and I'm sure that this is the case everywhere in the country. You know, there's several events up in this area that are having age play classes, along with the rope classes and the flogging classes and all of those sorts of things, and then also even having play space that's available for age players. Sometimes that play space is as limited as just a diaper changing area, and sometimes it's a whole room of toys. So I think that that's also a really good indication of the growing of acceptance of this particular fetish.
I know in our experience, we went to a party recently, the Sinfest, which is a pretty large party. And for the first time, it had an area for age players, and it included pillows and a storytelling and coloring books and stuffed animals, and it was just really kind of neat to see that in the dungeon.
Mm-hmm.
It was really kind of fun, and the age players loved it.
Yeah, I think that having an opportunity to play out in the world is a lot of fun. It can make a really big difference to be able to play with other age players, with other adult littles, because children don't always do all that well being, you know, kept entirely to themselves, and adult littles are very similar in that we like to play with each other. We're going to have our best headspace and our best enjoyment if we're able to play with other, you know, with other littles. And there's a lot more age players than there are people interested in taking on a caretaking role. And so often adult littles are either single or the relationships that they're in don't include age play as a part of that relationship. And so those sorts of environments can give people an opportunity to play with others when they don't necessarily have that in their everyday-to-day life.
Yeah, I think that's what I noticed as well, is that there were a lot of single littles, and but yet there was this wonderful space for them to be in, and they were just as happy as they could be. And speaking of conferences, Scotty, who's here with Daddy Rich, is recently back from a conference that he went to in San Francisco. You want to talk a little bit about that? And I know, Benny, that you're calling long distance. I just want to make sure you're okay hanging in there with us for a little bit.
No, I'm just fine. It's included in my cell phone plan.
Okay, that's what I thought. I was hoping that. Okay.
Well, anyway, just got back from San Francisco. We had a nice little munch there in San Francisco, and it was really nice. It was at a cafe. The cafe is kink-friendly, so everybody that walked in was fully accepted. Several of us were dressed in our baby clothes, and there were some mommies and daddies and little boys and little girls, and we had some story time, had a couple of stories told to us, even a little bit of a sing-along, and coloring, and we had a little sticker party. There was stickers flying everywhere, and it was just a really good time. And from the success of that, the cafe has given us a set date to where we are going to be able to meet monthly at a guaranteed time at their facility. So they just really welcomed us with open arms and said that even a lot of the people that visited the cafe that were there just for eats and drinks all came up and said, "My, the kids are so well behaved." And then Miss Lola kind of took her hairbrush out and said, "Well, if they don't, they're going to get this."
That's a good. We need to step out for a moment. It's a good stopping point for us to go there. Got to take care of a little bit of business. Make sure the FCC is happy. Put a little PSAs in your ear, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back in just a moment.
Hi, you've reached the Johnsons. We're not available to take your call. If you're calling about the apartment for rent, please leave your name and number after the beep, and someone will get back to you.
Hi, my name is Sanjay Rana. I would like to make an appointment to see the apartment.
Oh, hi, this is Robin DiPaola, and I'm calling about the apartment. Please give me a call back at 2.
Hi, hello. This is Rafael Paredes. Please call me back at 718.
This is Jeannie Chu. I'd like to talk to you about the apartment. If you can please call me back.
Hello, my name's Clayton Anderson. I'm calling about the ad in the Sunday paper.
Oh, hello, this is Mrs. Johnson. You must be calling about the apartment.
I am. Is it still available?
Well, you're the first person to call about it. Are you available?
Housing discrimination of all kinds is illegal in the U.S. If you think you've been a victim because of your race, color, national origin, sex, religion, disability, or family status, call 800-669-9777 or visit fairhousinglaw.org. Fair housing. It's not an option. It's the law. Brought to you by HUD, the Ad Council, and LCCREF.
Did you know you can find KPFT on the social networking sites MySpace and Facebook? You certainly can, and we'd love you to add us as a friend and get us connected with friends of yours. On Facebook, for example, you can connect to KPFT as a friend, join our fan page, and check out a special video message from General Manager Dwayne Bradley to Facebook users. On MySpace, KPFT provides event videos, updates, and a lot more. With both, you can link up with other KPFT listeners, get the latest news about the station, and find lots of extras. It's fun, so catch up with KPFT online. On MySpace, visit myspace.com/KPFT Houston. On Facebook, visit us at facebook.com/KPFT Houston. This is commercial-free, listener-sponsored Pacifica Radio 90.1 KPFT Houston.
And while you're on Facebook there, don't forget to check out After Hours. We are now a part of Facebook. Just do a search of After Hours, or if you can go to the KPFT site, the KPFT Facebook site, you should find us as a link or a fan or whatever the hell they call that stuff. You're listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude on listener-sponsored commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org. We are back now with Whip Society.
Eva and Elizabeth and our guests, including Benny on the phone. My youngest grandson's name is Benicio, and we call him Benny for short.
Well, my birth name was not Benny. I'm a transsexual man, actually. And I chose it because it's common enough to be something that's understandable to everybody and has that cute diminutive, you know. Once in a while somebody will call me Ben, but really I'm just not nearly mature enough to be a Ben or a Benjamin.
I like Benny. It fits you well. Okay, so Scotty was telling us about this wonderful cafe that he was in and just the wonderful acceptance that he felt. And just so you know, Scotty is not a small man. And he's sitting here in a little onesie. It's really cute with his teddy bear. And this is a very, not like I said, not a very small man.
It's Pooh, Winnie the Pooh, oh, not a teddy bear.
Winnie the Pooh, sorry.
Really? I know. And he's making an airplane.
Oh, yeah. And he's making paper airplanes. So, Benny, is there anything else you would like for our listeners to hear, since you are the author of Kinky Wiki?
You know, I think that the possibly the other sort of more very important thing
to remember about Age Play, we've talked about some of the youngest age group stuff, and I'm totally enthusiastic about that, but I also wanted to mention that Age Play also includes play in the school age range and the teenager range, and I don't think that that's actually a real foreign concept to a lot of people. I think a lot of people have seen the idea of playing around with the role of the teacher-student, especially the, sort of the Catholic schoolgirl thing, and that those activities fall under the Age Play category also, and so that may be something that a lot of people have sort of seen or thought about, and opens up a whole range of potential scene possibilities there.
That is really great that you brought that up, because, you know, we thought we would kind of go up the age ladder and start off with our adult babies and kind of work our way up. And I really, to tell you the truth, I was not aware of the range of ages. I was only, in my ignorance, aware of the girls who dressed in the Catholic schoolgirl outfit at the play parties that I attended. And, mm-hmm. and in all of this wonderful research and discussion with people, have realized that it goes very deep and very beyond the clothes and goes very deep and way beyond the age of the teenage girl.
Yeah, you know, I play with people who, you know, play around in the teenage age range, which is a lot of fun, but also in the school age grouping, you know, which has a whole sort of range of ideas and fun stuff that goes along with that, all the way down to people who want to play such a deep baby level that they're totally pre-verbal and not walking and that sort of completely needy space. Which can be a really intense experience. So that whole range, everywhere in between, are places that people want to play and experiences that people want to explore.
Now, am I understanding that there's a difference between age regression and role playing?
You know, I think that there definitely is a difference there, but I don't think that the difference is entirely clear as something always being one or the other. I think that often, in the same way that acting can be, you know, theatrical acting can be sort of acting entirely on the surface where your brain is still in your normal everyday-to-day life, all the way into, like, method acting where you completely take on the persona of the character that you're playing. I think that there's a relationship there between role-play age playing and regression age playing. It really is a difference of how deeply your psyche goes into that experience. And some people will only do one or the other. Some people will just only be able to completely regress or only be able to role play on kind of a surface level. I think that it's more common, though, for people to have a varying degree. I certainly have a, you know, experiences where I regress so much that I forget about being able to do things like read. And a lot more frequently experiences where I'm having a good time but still role playing. This, like, the idea that I still need to make sure to get my laundry done the next day never actually really leaves my mind.
Yeah.
And I think that that's the most common, that a lot of people have the experience of sort of doing both of those things.
Well, wonderful. I have another caller, and if Benny, you are still okay with hanging in there with us, I'd like to get some feedback from Pampered Bottoms. Is that okay with you?
That's just fine.
Wonderful. Let's go to Pampered Bottoms.
All right, let me see if I can do this. If Benny, if we lose you, just have to call back. I'm not 100% sure how our system is going to do that, so let's see here. Pampered Bottom, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, you're listening to me that you are on the air.
Hi.
It's Elizabeth. I'm so glad to hear from you.
I'm glad to be here. Thank you for having me.
This is Pampered Bottoms, and I invited Pampered Bottoms, and I wanted to make sure it was okay with you to say that I found you on a particular website. Is that okay?
Oh, yes.
Okay, I found Pampered Bottoms on FetLife, and what I found out about her is she's very shy, but a very proud baby girl, and she is owned and collared by, can I say his name on the air?
Oh, yes.
Daddy Crew. Hopefully he calls in, too.
Unfortunately, he's working tonight, so I'm not able to.
Okay, well, we're really happy that he gave you full permission to be with us tonight. I'm really happy to have you with us tonight. Let's see. What I was doing on FetLife was trying to get more information from people who were actually discussing the subject of age play, and I found this wonderful group called People Who Love Age Play, which is the one that Benny was saying that he and Broken Dolly took over, and there are over 2,000 members on it, and Pampered Bottoms would be one of those, and there were over 150 discussions going on, and one of them that really, really caught my interest was the one that Pampered Bottoms started a couple months ago called Non-Consensual with a bunch of question marks after that. I was wondering, can you kind of talk a little bit about where you were coming from when you posted that discussion?
Okay, well, I've been seeing quite a few people say post things on FetLife saying how when you're in the vanilla world and you're an age player, like a lot of people who are into age play and like pacifiers and things, they like to use those things out in public for different reasons. Some people want the attention and want the reaction. And then there are other people who it just feels like it's normal for them, and it's an everyday thing. It's no big deal.
And that sounds like you.
I'm the second one. It's
yeah.
It's just part of who I am. But there are people who feel that that is when you go out in the public and you're around the vanilla people that you are bringing them into your age play, and that it is non-consensual for the people around you.
Yeah, that's an interesting thing to say.
So it's to a point I can kind of understand it, but it's also like, okay, this is a pacifier. It's not going to hurt nobody. It's not going to traumatize anybody. It's going to, if I'm stressed, it's going to calm me down. It's going to make me relax and feel comfortable. So, I mean, yeah, I may get a few weird looks or some comments here and there, but in the end, it's only a pacifier, and I think people can move past it.
Yeah. So those. I think that's like the teddy bear. You know, we have a guest in the room with us tonight, Scotty, who has his teddy bear, and he's wearing a onesie.
That's Winnie the Pooh.
Oh, gosh, I'm sorry. I keep calling it a teddy bear.
No. You cannot call the bear a teddy bear.
No.
Sorry.
And Pooh rides on my lap in the airplane, too.
I think what I really am loving and what I'm really appreciating is that in general, you along with Scotty and a lot of young players in your age group have a very strong sense that what you do is right. And you enter the world, the outside world, with caution for your own safety and take care to conceal your fetish, but you don't let it stop you. You go out with your pacifier, and, you know, Scotty goes out with his Pooh Bear and in his onesies in public. I think that's wonderful, and I think, you know, I don't think anything of it. I might notice it, but I don't think I have a negative emotion toward it. And I've seen your picture, Pampered Bottoms, and you're quite cute, and I cannot imagine anyone would have a problem with you and your pacifier out in public.
A lot of it has to do, though, with how you conduct yourself in public. Mm-hmm. If there's some people that go and do it for the thrill of it, and then there's those of us that this is our life, this is who we are, and we conduct ourselves in that age, and when you do that and people see that you're not just acting weird or trying to be weird, but you're being yourself, they're okay with it.
Yeah, it's almost as though it doesn't trigger a reaction because you are so natural in that role, or when you're in that, what do you say? Are you in that mindset? Are you in that?
Oh, absolutely in that mindset.
Okay. Is that what you say too, Pampered Bottoms?
Oh, definitely. I mean, my mood varies like anybody else. I mean, sometimes I get to where I'm almost non-functioning. You know, I can't function like an adult at times.
You know, Benny was saying that earlier. He was talking about when he gets some people experience, they even lose their nonverbal skills or their
right.
verbal skills. They become nonverbal. I think that is a very interesting aspect of adult babies. You know, just the whole everything about it. I had no idea it went that deep, and I just think it's absolutely fascinating.
Well, it took me a very long time to get that far, a lot of work. See, you know, I've always felt like I was little, but I've never heard of BDSM, much less adult babies. And somebody had mentioned BDSM to me, and I did a little research, and I found this website. It wasn't FetLife, but it was another one. And that's how I met my daddy. And he introduced me to adult babies. Hmm. And then it was like my world just opened up.
That's great. Now, is that Daddy Crew?
Yes, Daddy Crew.
Are you too shy to talk about your daddy and your relationship with him?
Oh, no, not at all. I can talk about just about anything.
Great. Well, maybe we should say a little bit about Daddy Crew.
Okay.
I found him also on FetLife, and I mm-hmm. see that he's daddy, teacher, and owner of Pampered Bottoms, according to his profile on FetLife. And there's a very interesting picture of him. He looks like a rock star.
Yeah, he's he likes the rock and roll, and his dream is to be in a band. He's trying to get one set up. But
well, great.
Yeah,
so
he has that rocker side, and then he can turn around and be that, you know, sweet, nurturing, stern daddy that is really nice.
Well, he's obviously somebody that is very important to you and somebody that really honors you, because I find you to be very confident in who you are and how you play.
And that's because of him.
And it's because of him. Wow, that's very, very, very good to say about him. Wow, that says a lot about him. Can you go ahead and elaborate?
Well, because I am very shy and I grew up, I'm Catholic, and, you know, you're expected to grow up. You get married, you have kids, and all this stuff, and that's what was drilled into my head, and so I had these little feelings inside me for as long as I can remember. It's like a part of me never grew up, and I was just doing what was expected of me to just try to go through the motions and please my family. And that didn't work out too well for me. And I ended up getting a divorce. And about a year and a half later, I met my daddy. And he helped me see that I'm not weird. I'm not crazy. You know, I'm just not grown up. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Well, lucky us. Because we get to enjoy you, and you're part of our world, and, you know, I think we're better off in our world with you, in it.
Well, thank you.
You're quite welcome. Let's see. So, did you start another discussion? There was. It seems like I saw another discussion that you had started on FetLife, and it also yielded a lot of comments.
I've started a few. I'm not sure.
Yeah, well, you know, yours seem to get a lot of comments, though.
Well, see, the thing is, I don't know. Even when, I don't know how to word it, but people look down, even like other H players, when you are so into your little side.
Mm-hmm.
There are still other H players that do not understand that. And they'll a lot of times look down on you.
Right.
Because, you know, like I said, a lot of times it's hard for me to function as an adult. And that's if I'm with daddy or not. And, you know, all it can take is seeing my favorite cartoon on TV and then, you know, bye-bye adult. And a lot of people don't understand that, even if they are into age play.
Yeah.
And they have strong opinions of that.
I think there's a lot of strong opinion on both sides. You know, it seems like there's a lot of agreement, a lot of disagreement, or a lot of this is my opinion and this is yours. And, you know, there's a lot of differences. I think there's no right and there's no wrong. I think there just is. You know, there's just all these wide variety of approaches or feelings or how you go about fulfilling your own fantasy.
Exactly.
And I think you've definitely found your way, and it comes through very clearly, which is why I wanted you on the radio with us tonight. I felt like you had some very valid comments to make and some very valid issues to bring to light for us. Something else I'm very curious about, and I'm hoping that everyone is okay with me asking this, but what about sex in your play? I know that's a very private and very intimate question or answer to give, but I know on FetLife there is a lot of discussion one way or the other about it.
Yeah, that's a big topic.
It is a big topic, and it's one of the most intriguing ones, because I know for Eva and I, when we first started exploring age play, we were very confused about how a little... an adult baby or even a young adult could be in the dungeon. What was that person's place in the dungeon? Mm-hmm. And it just seemed like they didn't belong in it. And that was my own inexperience or lack of knowledge that was just sort of feeding into how children don't belong in certain places.
Right.
And then I realized, you know, after all of the discussion and certainly after reading some of the postings and discussion on your groups, is that it is between two consenting adults. And you made a very, very clear comment that I read that I you know, sticks in my mind, is that he's daddy. I'm not going to say no to him.
Exactly. Now, see, I'm not a slave. Like, in the BDSM world, there's a slave. In the beginning, when I was first getting to know him, that's what I was, because that's all I knew. And as we progressed and got to know each other, and he got to know me, because I would always hide my little side from people because I was ashamed of it. But somehow he was able to see through that, and he was able to help bring it out. And as our relationship started progressing, we are actually to the point now to where I don't have sex. But, you know, when it comes down to it, he's my daddy. He owns me. And it's not my place to tell him no.
Yeah, that actually was what you said.
I'm here to make him happy.
Yes. And you were talking about, as you're regressing, the sex is no longer a part of that.
Right.
And I think Scotty also is of that thought.
Yeah, because we don't do that. I mean, when me and Daddy are together, it's all about me being little and him being my daddy. He takes care of me, and I don't have any worries. I mean, he goes, fills my bottles for me. I mean, he takes care of me. But we don't mix sex with age play at all. It's about the nurturing, the caring for, the taking care of, not having any worries in the world. And we keep the two totally separate.
Yeah, I think that's really interesting that there are adult babies who do keep that completely separate, you know, like the two of you are describing. And then there are those who have what they call, there's actually a term for it. They call it, it involves incest, and it's where they reenact something that may have happened to them as children. And through that reenactment, they actually become stronger or can work through some of the issues. But they do it, and they get through that. And sex is part of their play or their age play, and even as an adult baby. So it seems like, you know, depending on, and that's always the real comment, depending on the situation or who they're with or who the players are, or just so many things come into play, you either will or won't. And it's really, really fascinating to me that there are adult babies who do, and then there are adult babies who don't.
It just depends on the person and the dynamic in their relationship.
Yes, that's what it seems like. It just depends, and I love that it's so, you know, there's no limits. It's boundless. You know, and so what two people or more consent on doing is just fine for them. You know,
right.
It's like whatever the mix is for that group and whatever makes that group happy is okay. And I love that about this age play that we're discovering.
And that's what I try to stress to people, that just do what makes you happy. As long as nobody is getting hurt, you're not breaking the laws, you're not doing anything, you know, disruptive or damaging, then do what makes you happy. And don't worry about labels or what you call yourself. I think people get wrapped up in, am I a little because I do this? Or do I role play or do I age play? It's just, don't worry about what you call it. Just be yourself and have fun.
Yeah. Your daddy said that you were one of the people who are very genuine in who you are and what you do and why. And I thought that was a very nice thing to say about you.
Oh, he does speak very nice about me sometimes. He is very nice.
Well, Pampered Bottoms, I wanted to thank you so much for being with us tonight. Is there anything else that you'd like to add?
No, just thank you for having me, and it was a lot of fun.
I am so glad that you could join us, and I hope to talk to you again soon.
Oh, I would love it. Just let me know, and I'll call.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, okay, so you're going to go back to Benny?
Yes, can we get back to Benny?
Benny, are you there?
I'm still here.
Okay,
hi,
good,
Benny.
You're on the air again.
Were you able to hear all of that dialogue?
Yeah, I caught all of it. And, you know, unlike the other two guests, age play is a really sexual experience for me. So I would be sort of on the other side of that.
Yeah, I want to hear all sides of it. And certainly the other side of the non-sexual adult baby age play is the sexual adult baby age play. And I'd like to hear more about that, too.
You know, for me, the thing that is the biggest turn-on in my life inside of age play and also in other fetishes is vulnerability. And any time that I feel vulnerable or that I can put my partner into a place where they feel vulnerable, that's a big turn-on. And so, and I can't really think of anything that's a whole lot more vulnerable than being three, so, which is about the youngest that I play. You know, I use the term adult baby occasionally, but actually adult toddler is probably more appropriate for me, because the, you know, I play that about that young, but I don't tend to go nonverbal, non-reading, but not nonverbal. And for me, the experience of being really vulnerable, especially in, you know, I mean, things like diaper changing is a really vulnerable physical space to be in. You know, that stuff's all a really big turn on for me. I like feeling sort of taken advantage of in a sexual environment. And my partner, who I do some age playing with, does play the role of sort of an older sister role. And so she's a little bit less of a caretaker and more taking advantage of me in ways that a mommy or daddy persona doesn't necessarily always do. And that gives us a slightly different dynamic than some other relationships. She's a little bit younger than me in the real world, and the mommy persona just didn't feel right. And so we explored some other ideas, and sister seemed to fit better.
I was trying to remember, in all the terminology that I was running across, it seems like there's a whole lingo involved in age play. And the one that I was trying to remember had to do with incest. Do you remember what that is?
You know, actually, as you were saying that, I was not sure. It isn't something that I know, that I'm familiar with, so I'm not really sure what the term was that you'd run across.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty interesting, but apparently it describes what you were just describing, where there's a family member, and where it's a sister rather than, you know, an uncle or a daddy,
mm-hmm.
or a mommy, where it's a sibling, and as children you are it would be in real life, if you were in real life. A real child, it would be incestual.
Yeah, I think that I don't know a specific terminology for that, but I think that the sort of attitude about incest type relationships and the way that we explore those taboos, both with the mommy and daddy and uncle and sibling relationships, is that we people have very close relationships with their families, and we respond to family members in a way that is different than any other human.
Mm-hmm.
And so age play certainly is frequently done with teacher roles as the caretaker, or babysitters are really common. And I've got a babysitter who's great fun, but it's never going to be as intimate of an experience as it is with somebody who's taking on the role of a family member for me, because that family member is just going to know me better and to have sort of this inherent back history associated with that. And I don't think that I could have my daddy or my big sister be somebody who I don't have a very serious relationship with.
Yeah.
Because that partner, that life partner correlation correlates very well with a close family member, whereas my babysitter is somebody who's just a friend.
Yeah. You know, it's really funny that you're saying babysitter, and it's intriguing, this memory that I had of a babysitter in my life that she was maybe 10 years older than me, so I was 8 and she was 18, and she was babysitting, and you know, with all the other kids, I'm the oldest of 6, and so the rest of the kids were sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
And so she and I were up, and we were chatting, and we were laying in the bed, and, you know, on top of the covers, not under the covers. And I was recalling how, I guess, the question of my menstrual cycle came up, and I was wondering, you know, just how do you put a tampon up there? I didn't know, you know, I just couldn't understand, you know, how does that happen? And she, poor Scotty, he's getting squeamish about this. But anyway, the reason I'm saying that, because I normally wouldn't say something like that, Eva can tell you I'm pretty prudish about things like that, is because I was so curious. I was only 8, and I was very, very curious, and I felt very comfortable with her. And so it seemed like she kind of came toward me, and I don't know if maybe it crossed her mind that she was going to illustrate for me or demonstrate for me how, but I remember backing up. And I think maybe it was my body language that kind of stopped her. But in my adult life, going through all of this, you know, research and talking about age play, it made me recall that. And so now I have this fantasy I would like to fulfill, where we actually can reenact that, and she can actually come toward me, and I actually come back toward her, and she can demonstrate for me just how that tampon goes up there.
That sounds kind of exciting. You know, that sounds a little bit like a sort of medical experience. And there's a fantasy that I have about incorporating medical play and age play together. I would really like to be able to get an experience of going to the pediatrician's office at some point.
Yeah. You know, they hold it and go, okay, turn and cough.
Exactly. Yeah. I think temperature taking, those sorts of things could be, you know, and there's a lot of overlap between age play and other fetishes and other BDSM forms. In the class I teach on age play, I discuss overlaps with bondage and overlaps with, like, spanking play. I think that spanking is kind of an obvious connection, but there's also, I think that bondage is a less obvious connection until you point out that car seats and high chairs and cribs are all kind of, you know, bondage and physical space restriction type of environments.
Well, you know, in my experience, I grew up Catholic and in a very old world Catholic school, and so restraining a child to your seat, you know, was not unheard of. It was before corporal punishment was done away with.
Mm-hmm.
And we were still being spanked, you know, with or without parents' permission. And teachers sometimes, or the nuns in my case, actually restrained the children. And so, yeah, it wouldn't be a far cry for me to actually try to figure out a fantasy around that.
Yeah, I definitely believe that. And I, you know, I went to a more liberal Catholic school than it sounds like you did. But you know, I also had the experience of going to Catholic school. And there's some similar things. Because we weren't able to be hit anymore, this was only 10 years ago, there were other things that were sort of physical in terms of punishments for things, like having to hold books up at arm's length. That sort of thing, you know, which definitely still overlaps with a BDSM sort of environment, and that those sorts of things come up occasionally as connections.
Yeah. Well, I know with Eva, she's got the spanking thing with the ruler, the paint stick in the store for discipline by mommy. So there's a fantasy for her whenever I bring out the ruler. She loves it. She starts giggling.
Yeah, that was something in the very beginning of our relationship. One weekend, we took time and we just opened the toy box and tried every little item in the toy box. And the paint stick was just, it brought something up from childhood that was just, I guess at the time, was just so amazing. And it is something that definitely makes me giggle now.
I think that those sorts of experiences, those sorts of connections can be really powerful. You know, I think that there's this thing in BDSM about having really sort of complex or expensive toys. And, you know, a paint stick sometimes is really all you need, or a cutting board or a wooden spoon, you know?
Well, that's what Mom grabbed.
Right, yeah, absolutely.
You know, whatever was handy in the kitchen. So, yeah, I don't think it's a very far cry.
I've got a friend who, particularly enjoys spanking and is also an adult baby and diaper fetishist. And the combination of a really, really big paddle and a good thick diaper is an experience that's a big deal for him. That speaks to something very deep inside him.
Yeah, I can only imagine. You know, it's been very interesting talking about all of this, and I'd like to go ahead and wrap up in the next few minutes. So, is there anything else, Benny, that we can offer our listeners regarding age play before we let you go?
Yeah, I think just the one last thing is that I'd like the listeners who may be being a little bit hesitant about how they feel about this to think of one thing that they really enjoyed doing as a kid, or that they wanted to do and didn't get a chance to, and consider bringing that into their adulthood. If they really miss coloring, go out and buy yourself a coloring book. And if you always, you know, really, really, really wanted to play t-ball and you didn't get a chance to play t-ball, then do it as an adult. There's nothing stopping you, and that's really, for a lot of us, that's what it's about. It's about experiencing that stuff.
Well, thank you, Benny. I really appreciate you taking the time to be on the air with us and offering as much as you did. It was very, very helpful, and I hope to talk more to you in the future.
Absolutely. You had some great questions. You have a great night.
Thank you, Benny. Good night.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
All right. So we had two callers from, Wisconsin would be Midwest, and then Florida. So that was great. Marie, is there anything that you'd like to add to the discussion? I just kind of caught her off guard here.
Yeah, completely off guard.
Yeah, you're on.
I'm just beginning to sort of explore this realm. I've played in a lot of BDSM realms, and I'm actually Mistress Shoe Freak. But this is a new one for me, and I have a very good friend for many years now who it's sort of a specialty of hers, and so I have been curious, and so it's been a delight to listen in.
Yeah, well, for us, it's been a real delight to discover. You know, it started off with something that we thought was kind of, you know, weird or creepy, and then it just kind of unfolded into this wonderful, very beautiful thing, and we're just so happy to have come down this road.
and Daddy Rich. Is there anything you'd like to add to the discussion?
There were some various things that people were saying out there that I wanted to point out, that wearing of pacifiers or frilly panties or anything of that sort is a comfort zone. Makes them feel comfortable. That's why they wear it. Yeah, things like security blankets, or it is a security blanket. Scotty, for instance, even when he's in the corporate world, he likes to wear underoos. He makes them himself. And so that, so you can be somewhat normal, I guess, and still be in this lifestyle, or still be in the age play. So it comes in all forms.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with that, yeah. Definitely. It's amazing how many different forms it comes in. Mm-hmm. I am just completely amazed. You know, I'm not sure that this is the end of this particular, you know, fetish. I think this is something that we probably could bring back to the radio and still have a lot more fresh ideas mm-hmm. to bring.
Yeah.
But I wanted to comment on the comfort zone and wearing things out in public. I think if we were to actually explore that, we would realize, like in BDSM, when people say, well, I'm not into BDSM, and then you ask them, well, do you, you know, spank sometimes? And they go, yeah, well, then you're in the BDSM.
Mm-hmm.
Or do you bite? You know, well, that's kind of S&M,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I think it's the same thing with the wearing of the comfort zone clothing, you know, mm-hmm. the underwear. I know Eva loves to, you know, indulge in underwear that kind of are colorful for her, and
yeah,
as colorful as her face was getting as you were mentioning.
what's really funny is that there was one time that Elizabeth's parents were staying with us, and we were folding underwear, and he noticed this pair of underwear, and we have four grandsons. He goes, oh, who do these belong to? And they were mine. They were Supergirl.
A little boy cut with the S, you know. But, yeah, I think clothes to bring us into our comfort zone is something that we don't realize that that's what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so when it's pointed out and you realize it, it's, okay, great. That kind of feels good that you're satisfying something that you still need to do no matter how old you are. You know, something that we still need as adults is to sometimes pamper that child in us.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily in a BDSM way or in a sexual way, but just in a way that we're just satisfying something that we need. Something in our comfort zone. Go ahead, Marie.
I would say one thing about, you know, the world out there has lots of little corners. The pacifier thing, you know, kids take pacifiers into clubs, into dance clubs nowadays, and I had heard that started with the use of ecstasy and the jaw clenching and so
mm-hmm.
forth.
It is.
And but then it became a popular thing that I saw, you know, that people who knew nothing about X and who didn't do clubbing particularly would mm-hmm. carry pacifiers and had no idea. And I would say the same for the underwear and the same for a lot of, you know, I mean, 15 years ago, no one wore corsets except, you know, the freaks amongst us. And then all of a sudden they became hugely popular as a fashion item. And now there are versions. And so there, all these things slip into the culture and into, you know, the little signals we used to find each other across a crowded room by no longer mean what they used to mean. But, you know, and so we can get away with a lot more out in the world as well.
I think so, too. I think as we become more diverse as a community or more diverse as a city, you know, we are exposed to more, and so we're kind of immune to more. Something else I wanted to bring up before we wrap up is that we've been talking about age play from the adult baby perspective, and then the younger child, and then going up the age ladder. But also there's size. You know, I know that Chris and I talked about, you know, that there are men who are attracted to larger men, and there's sort of a dynamic that has to do with, you know, a daddy figure or authority figure. And we felt like it kind of fell into this age play dynamic.
Yeah, in a way it does. 'Cause in the larger community, in the Chubbin into the Bear, you do get those daddy or coach sort of aspects where you have a younger person who's wanting to play in that role of being a submissive and maybe not as much regressing back to a younger age, but playing in that of having an authority figure over them. And in many ways, the easiest way you do that is go back to a childhood situation where you had a coach or a scout leader or your father, and who fulfilled that sort of interest and fulfillment. And it's one of those, it's a community that there's a lot of fetishments in it.
Mm-hmm.
That you do get that a little bit of a role play in that you do get specific body interest in that, and there are a lot of things where you can start to dissect it and find what sort of people you're at. And you know, I've over the years that I've been formally in a part of the gay chub community, I see a lot of younger people who are looking for that mm-hmm. there is that interest in a larger person and an older person, where of someone who is, you know, twice their age in some instances.
Yeah, I remember you saying that there was a point where there was someone you were talking to where had you lost it, you know, this number of pounds or gone beyond mm-hmm. below this weight level, they were no longer interested.
Yeah, there's that sort of play with certain people that it's about a level, you know, where you want this certain point. And so, yeah, there are some people that, jokingly the Chubbs call it, you're looking for someone who's COD, Chubb on disability, that they've gotten to that point in their
right.
in their physical inactivity and their size that they're not able to fully maintain themselves. And some people, it actually, there is a, there are some that are a caretaker type, you know, that they want to try and take care of someone who is in that advanced state. We even have what are called encouragers, who want people to try and help you to get larger.
Yeah, I've seen movies about what, you know, with that, and that's pretty amazing.
It's strange, even some of us in our community. We had an event here, and we watched one person who was just, you know, feeding cheesecake to a person, and it's like,
wow.
and there are some people also on the other stream who are gainers, who, because their perception of beauty or what they find attractive is a larger person, because they're a smaller person, they feel the need to get up to that larger level. Hmm. And you do get people like that's their interest in it, is that they are going to try and gain as much weight as they can into that. But it's one of those, like I said, especially with talking about the age there, I've come across lots of people here lately who are under 20, who are interested in chatting with larger people.
Right, and older.
And some of it is, yes, even under 18.
That's amazing.
And it's one of those things, it's you know, when you're talking with somebody, talking with this one guy, he is, just talked with him once, and he's 15. He's going to turn 16 in next month, right around, we're about 1 month from now, he'll turn 16. He's interested in big guys, and he can't even come out as just being gay, because even though he's Australian, his father is Turkish.
Mm.
And so he just kept saying, you know, if I come out to my father, he's going to punch me in the face, spit on me, and throw me out of the house.
Because of the culture?
Because of the culture in that.
Mm.
And I look at it that way. If you've got someone who is in a younger age, you know, in a very difficult situation of being able to express who they are. I've got another person I've chatted with who's about to turn 17, who came out to his parents and came out not only as being gay, but the fact that he was interested in older men. And he came out and got grounded for it. You know, she thought, his mom thought it was the internet that got him. Yeah, his mom thought, you know, it's, well, he's in Alaska. And so she thought the internet was what was causing this problem, so she grounded him from the internet. And the next time he was allowed to get on, she was sitting behind him. And we started chatting. And he kept reminding me that, remember, mommy's behind me. You know, my mother's behind me. And so he asked some very smart questions, which I was impressed that he did. He basically asked me to talk about my coming out and how my family accepted it. And after a while, I had to stop him and say, okay, hold on. Let me talk to your mom.
Good for you.
And I started saying, you know, you've got a good kid. You know, sometimes he may need a kick in the ass.
Mm-hmm.
And he piped in and he said, made a comment to me. I said, hush, you know, eyes on your own paper. I'm talking to your mom. And basically told her that, you know, be thankful you still have your son there. There is streets filled with kids who weren't brave enough to tell mom and dad who they were.
Yeah.
And there's cemeteries filled with kids that couldn't tell their mom and dad who they really were.
Yeah.
And you got to respect that and a bit of courage in that. And I think it helped. So it's one of those things you also have to look at that part of where the age play is more real. And you're not talking about something that is a physical act, but you're talking to somebody who is interested in that and needs to understand where you're coming with it and what's going on, and understand the realm of it all.
Yeah. Oh, wow. What a big realm there is to know, too. There is one other thing that I wanted to bring up because it is so close to my community, and it is the world of the leather man and the daddy boy aspect. I know that with the leather gay men that Eva and I have many friends in that world, daddy boy doesn't necessarily mean that they're into age play. Mm-hmm. It actually means something entirely different. And I just wanted to address that just very quickly, and just so that there's some clarity around that for our listeners, is that that when maybe Daddy Rich can kind of help me answer that that thought that I want to bring out about the leather man and the daddy boy title. My understanding is that as a daddy, you earn that. You aren't just a daddy. You actually have to earn that title, and. It means that you have the respect of your home. You have house order. And so at the very top of that is the daddy or the master. And then there are boys underneath that. And I also understand that that may fall into the submissive or alpha submissives and, you know, and so on. And so I just wanted to also get any input from you. Daddy Rich, if you had any.
Pretty simply, the daddy is usually the dominant and the boy is usually the submissive. And that's probably just where it ends. Yeah.
That's probably just it. Yeah, I just wanted to just kind of address that real quickly. Okay, well, it's 2:50 and we were going to be here till about 2:55, so let's go ahead and start wrapping this up. In closing, I'd like to say how enlightening it was to explore the age play fetish tonight with all of you. I hope that we can come back and talk to you again about fetish fantasy fulfillment. Hopefully a different fetish. We don't know which one, so if I can hear from other people, I'd like to come back and talk about another fetish another time. And also make sure that you remember our website, which is WIP Society, which stands for Women in Power Society. You can always Google Women in Power Society, and you're going to come up with a whole page or two of information about us anyway. So if you don't remember, it's WIPSOCIETY.net. And if you will contact us on that WIP Society contact page, we will give you some recommended reading and some sources that we used for the material that you heard a little of tonight. Thank you for having us, Chris and Jimmy.
Thank you.
And I want to thank my guests, Daddy Rich, Scotty.
Pooh Bear.
And Pooh Bear.
And Pooh Bear.
Marie, my wife Eva, Benny, and Pampered Bottoms.
And we were sitting here trying to figure out, sometimes we try and get music with the theme for the show, and... I was shot down on my ideas when we had the women's show ahead of us there. Wanted to play Free Pussy and was told no.
Oh.
couldn't play that. But I was like, I was sitting there racking my brain trying to figure out what do we do for a song for the adult baby diaper. So I thought, let's go with a lullaby to wrap us out.
Good
a
for
lullaby
you.
Good enough That'd for good. Adult for babies of all ages.
Good night and happy Thanksgiving.
We'll be back with Gigi in a moment.
We have cleared off the table the leftovers.
All right, that was great.
The dishes and put them away. I have told you a story and tucked you in tight at the end of your knockabout day. As the moon sets its sail to carry you to sleep over the midnight sea. Well, I will sing you a song no one sang to me. May it keep you good company. You can be anybody that you want to be. You can love whomever you will. You can travel any country where your heart leads, and know I will love you still. You can live by yourself. You can gather friends around. You can choose one special one. And the only measure of your words and your deeds will be the love you leave behind when you're gone.
Some girls grow up strong and bold. Some boys are quiet and kind.
Some race on ahead, some follow behind.
Some grow in their own space and time.
Some women love women,
and some men love men.
Some raise children, and some never do.
Can dream all the day, never reaching the end of everything possible for you. Don't be rattled by names, by taunts or games, but seek out spirit's truth. If you give your friends the best part of yourself, they will give the same back to you. You can be anybody that you want to be. You can love whomever you want. You can travel any country where your heart leads, and know I will love you still. You can live by yourself, you can gather friends around, you can choose one special one. And the only measure of your words and your deeds will be the love you leave behind when you're gone.
Oh, the love you leave behind when you're gone.
CARE, the Council on American-Islamic Relations, is here to serve you. CARE Houston has a wide variety of pamphlets and workshops on Muslim religious practices for every type of group, from churches and synagogues to schools and law enforcement, and even corporations and city councils. CARE also covers civil rights issues in the Houston community and puts forward helpful publications in an effort to inform the public about their legal rights as Americans and immigrants. Socrates once said, "The only good is knowledge, and the only evil is ignorance." So if you wish to know more about CARE services, feel free to contact us at 713-838-CAIR. That's 713-838-2247. Or you can also visit us on the web at www.cairhouston.org.
Hello, this is KPFT's 90.1 Houston. And I'm Deloitte Parker, Executive Director of SHAPE Community Centers. SHAPE, shaping history for the future. For over 33 years now, SHAPE has shaped history by actively working with issues important to all of us. The freeing of Nelson Mandela. The freeing of Clarence Brantley, death row inmate. The conviction and firing of the officers that killed Otto Delaney and Byron Gillen. Voter mobilization, anti-death penalty, police brutality cases, nutrition programs, legal clinics, cultural programs, all of these programs working to make life better for all of us today for tomorrow. For more information about SHAPE, call 713-521-0629. SHAPE Community Center, 713-521-0629. Thank you.
And you're listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude on listener-sponsored commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast. KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org. We're back now. Well, hold on. There we go.
In our new time slot of 1 to 4 a.m. So we have to kind of get used to this. A little less time and tighten up our shows and I don't know. Yeah, it's just weird.
Yeah.
Anyway, Gigi's here.
Yes, I'm back.
And what are we talking about tonight, sweetie?
Tonight I was going to cover relationship models, and then talk a little bit about more in depth about polyamory.
Okay.
Because it's something that came up recently for me.
Really?
I had a friend that came up to me and said, you know, I'm wanting to go into a polyamorous relationship, but, you know, I'm just have never had experience with this and don't even know much about it. And so I thought, you know, maybe time to redo a show on this again.
Well, yeah, when it comes to polyamory, I always think, you know, it's all a case by case basis.
Yeah.
But I'm sure there are some base things to look at.
Oh, yeah.
In a polyamory relationship.
Yeah. So anyway, and part of what got me interested in relationship models was that, you know, when I was growing up, I really realized that a couple of things right off the bat. First was there's a matter of timing. I'd meet a girl or a boy, we'd fall in love, we'd kind of go steady, and and then I'd meet someone else and go, whoa, wait, this timing sucks.
Yeah, and you just thought you were being greedy.
Well, I am. What can I say?
But really, so many times, there is not one person who is the be-all, end-all, and you fall in love with different people for different reasons.
Yeah, and the other thing I quickly realized was that I have such diverse sexual appetites that no one person can
Well,
fulfill.
That's true, yeah, because I guess polyamory would be is different from straights, gays, and bisexuals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And another thing I kind of realized was that, you know, I knew I didn't want to have kids. And so this whole monogamous, get married for life model that's kind of number one in society.
Yeah.
Didn't fit me.
Well,
and
when you put it that way.
I know it's a lot of people.
Yeah.
And it's, but it shouldn't be the only model out there.
Well, of course. Yeah. Yeah, I think that's one of the things I like about being queer is that I've always thought we create our own relationships that fit for us.
So I kind of wanted to kind of cover several different relationship models before we delve too deeply into the polyamory.
Sure.
And, you know, some of these come from the gay community, some from the bi.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen them all around. Some from the more straight community.
Okay.
Of course, we have the monogamous relationship. Mm-hmm. That's usually for life.
And usually just for two people.
And usually for two people only.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's something called serial monogamy, where a person is with a single person for a period of time. And then once they in that relationship, they move on to another monogamous relationship, but it's a series of
monogamous relationships.
Yeah,
okay,
over time. And you know, I remember after my father got divorced, he was a minister and high and holy and all this,
and he got divorced
and remarried, and then he started coming down on me about being poly.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I said, well, wait a minute, just because you don't really fit the classic definition of monogamy. It's one partner for life.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, you blew that.
You blew that one. So don't start coming down on me because I have a whole different idea of what I want with my life.
Sure.
You make exceptions in your own life all the time. You're not living a pure monogamous relationship.
Yeah, that's true.
By the definition.
Yeah.
And by the definition of your church. And so...
And
there's nothing wrong with that.
No. I mean, I just marvel when I see two people who are celebrating their 50th anniversary.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, oh, my God, how could they do it?
Yeah.
But here I am with Stanley with 31 years.
Yeah.
But, you know, but it's a little bit different.
Yeah. I think the next one is polyfidelity relationships.
And what's that?
Polyfidelity is when you have a closed group where you're polyamorous.
Oh, like a triad?
Then you're exclusive to the members of that group.
Okay.
But you don't have sexual relationships outside that group.
Okay.
So it's kind of a polyfidelity.
Polyfidelity. Okay. I got to grasp that one. Because I know people who are in triads.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there are groups of more than three.
Yeah.
That exist.
Mm-hmm.
Of all the people in a relationship together. So, so that means that they just focus their love and their sex.
Yeah.
On only the people in the relationship.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then there's this whole concept of swingers.
Yes.
That's a whole different ballgame.
That is. And it can get kind of weird.
Yeah.
In some cases, because I know so many, a lot of swingers groups, when you talk about bisexuality, they mean women only.
Right.
Not the men.
Not the men.
Yeah, that to me, that's a little on the weird side.
Yeah. And then you have the full polyamorous relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you can have a polyamorous relationship with restrictions.
Yes.
I've known of poly groups or couples where the couple can sleep with the same-sex partner outside the primary relationship.
Oh.
But can't. Opposite
but not an opposite sex. Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. And so that's one that I see in the bi community often.
Oh.
Is that, you know, my boyfriend can sleep with all the guys he wants, but he better not touch another girl.
Oh, okay.
Vice versa.
Or vice versa,
So then you have that. And then And then there's some other types of...
No, we didn't touch on the full poly.
Oh, the full poly can have... It's basically you have a relationship where everything's open.
Okay.
You know, there's no restrictions except practice sex.
Okay. what you're talking about is it's open sexually.
Right.
The love part is within the group.
Yeah.
But
each person in the group can sleep with
whoever
they want.
Okay.
As long as they practice safe sex.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it's...
And in any relationship, always...
Oh, yeah.
Safe sex is kind of a given.
It is these days. Yeah.
And then you have screw buddies.
Well, that was a nice way of putting it.
Yeah. Since we can't say the other one.
Yeah, the FCC buddies.
And those are basically people that don't really have a relationship other than just pure sex.
Right, right.
Where they just get together to have sex.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no romance. There's
no.
None of that.
And, I can understand that because I have, in my past, I've had guys that I've dated and... Oh, my God, the sex was so good.
Oh, yeah.
But that was it. I mean, we couldn't even talk to each other after it was over. And we had nothing to talk about. We were so divergent. And, we could never have a relationship. But, oh, my God, the sex was great.
And when I haven't been to San Francisco in years,
mm-hmm.
but every time I used to go, I'd go to the sex club.
Uh-huh.
And that was a pure...
Oh, yeah. Blow buddies?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Play buddies?
Absolutely.
All
Absolutely.
We were there for was
that
to have
was
sex
it.
With
Just
one another.
The physical, yeah.
And sometimes you got a name, sometimes you didn't.
Exactly.
And which brings us to the next one, which is anonymous sexual encounters,
mm-hmm.
which can be a whole different ballgame.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You're still there just to have sex.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, you don't know the person.
No. No.
And so there's a whole, but
that's
you want to do that in a safe
environment. That's like going to the Tubs.
Yeah.
Like Midtown Spa or Club Body Houston or adult bookstores or, mm-hmm. places like that. Sex emporiums.
Yeah. And then the next one I have listed is sacred sex.
Oh, yeah. That's very different.
Yeah. And sacred sex is more, it's based on the ancient sex temples.
Mm-hmm.
Patrons come to the temple for all kinds of reasons. Sometimes for healing, sometimes
mm-hmm.
for just to get off, sometimes you name it. And so, in a sense, sacred sex is kind of a duty that the practitioner performs to provide these services for their patrons.
Mm-hmm.
And in modern times, it's very different than in ancient times.
Oh, yeah.
In ancient times, we didn't have laws that govern that stuff.
Right, right.
It was much freer in that sense.
Yeah.
But today, even now, there is sacred sex temples
mm-hmm.
throughout different parts of the country. That are very active. And
how do you find them?
Internet's one good way.
Mm-hmm.
I know that in Atlanta, there's the Temple of the Red Lotus.
Mm-hmm.
Then I run the Sacred Sex Temple out at ESA.
Okay, so tell me about this. Like the one in Atlanta. Okay.
Yeah.
Who would go to it? Now, what is the big difference between going to the sacred sex temple and going to an adult bookstore?
I think the emphasis is more on partly on healing and partly on education.
Okay.
When you get a type of education at the bookstore.
Yeah.
But
you're going to go to the sacred sex temple. They're not playing porn movies.
No.
Okay.
It's more educational. The relationship is a little bit more spiritual.
Okay.
And deeper. And the intent is very different.
Yes.
You're raising sex energy.
Mm-hmm.
And really, most of them are pagan. And so you're also worshiping the goddess and the god.
Okay, so you're raising sexual tension for healing purposes,
yeah,
actually.
Partly for in some cases for mm-hmm. healing. We live in a sex-negative world.
Oh, we do.
And so going to a temple can be very healing and enlightening.
It's just bizarre in this country how everything is geared towards sex. I mean, if you came from another planet and you watched TV or read magazines in this country, you would think people are having sex 24 hours a day because it's used to sell everything.
Oh, yeah.
And the emphasis is so on sex. However, the undercurrent is sex is dirty.
And bad.
And bad, yes. Yes, and if you have it outside of marriage, it's a terrible thing. And if you perform certain acts, even in a married state, that's bad.
Yeah.
It's
but the other damaging part is that here we're constantly being enticed sexually.
Yes.
And then denied.
And then, exactly.
And exactly. So that causes us to repress our own sexuality, which is an unhealthy thing.
It is an unhealthy thing. It really is.
It can be very damaging.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a cruelty
mm-hmm.
To humans.
Yeah. And we wonder why we have such screwed up people. When you repress yourself so much, mm-hmm. it's bound to come out somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
But not in a good way.
Yeah. And so part of the whole sacred sex concept is that, you know, you can come to a temple for healing.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you're in I know of one story where a man came because he and his partner had quit having sex.
Ah.
And he was feeling very wounded and on edge and
sure,
and it wasn't necessarily just the sex, it was also for the nurturing and the cuddling and that close connection
that you're not going to get at an adult bookstore or a massage parlor or anything like that.
And then the other aspect of all this is that we also live in a touch deprived society.
We do.
And, you know, human infants, if they don't receive human touch, they'll die.
Mm-hmm.
That's a given.
Yes.
We transfer something when we touch one another. And I think for adults, human touch is critical for both mental health and for physical health.
I think so, too. And I know of quite a few people who are not touchers. And, and they, I don't know, I don't think they understand life.
Oh, yeah.
Or, you know, because there's something a bit off.
Yeah. And so, you know, there's many different levels of healing that can occur.
Yes.
And I think that's all important, especially in this society.
You bet.
We have a need for this that isn't being addressed in very many avenues.
And I think a lot of people don't realize it.
Yeah.
They don't realize how important the human touch is, because mm-hmm. I'm a toucher, and it's interesting to see the reactions I get from people. Some, you know, just stiffen up and some back away. Mm-hmm. Others respond great. I mean, you know, they touch right back, and there's lots of mm-hmm. hugging, and you know, and you just, I don't know, that reaction kind of sets the mood on what the conversation's going to be like.
Yeah.
You know, it's like if somebody's tensing up and backing away, it's this person is not going to be very open,
right?
And you wonder why that happened. What happened in this person's life that they've turned off the touching part?
Yeah. And I think part of it is this, you know, when you constantly entice someone and then deny them,
mm-hmm.
all of a sudden, touch becomes numbed, I think.
You think that's it?
I think that's part, can be a part of it. All of a sudden, they've shut down a part of themselves where they can't.
How do they open that back up?
Through healing, through, you know, one of the things that I've done in temple, I had someone come in once, and they felt very strange about sexual touch.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the things I did to help with the healing process was I started with a foot massage.
Mm-hmm.
And then I sucked their toe.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, things woke up.
Interesting.
It was an erotic touch, but it was safely erotic.
That's right, because it wasn't at the
it wasn't on the genitals. And so in our society, boys are taught that, you know, if you start touching, it's going to lead to one thing.
Yeah.
And one thing only, and that's screwing.
Yeah.
But in temple, we set up kind of these boundaries and say, okay, tonight this is what we're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing more than that. And you can't get that kind of contract anywhere else.
True. Now, when you say we're going to do this, like, give me an example.
Well, if someone comes to me and says, you know, I've been feeling isolated. It's not that I really want to have full-blown sex,
mm-hmm.
but I want some intimacy. I want this. I want that.
Okay.
And then we talk about, well, what boundaries are acceptable to you
mm-hmm.
for this session? And what can we do for you? And then we set the boundaries.
I see.
Together. It's kind of like negotiating.
Yeah.
And then,
okay, I get
and
it.
Then they feel safe because there's boundaries set.
Right.
And they know I'm not going to try to get in their pants.
Okay. Okay.
And they're not going to try to get in mine.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
In fact, in temple, intercourse is very rare except between patrons. And usually patrons that are couples.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not there to get in people's pants.
Yeah, you're there for sexual healing.
Yeah. Well, partly sexual healing and, once again, the sexual education component. You know, it's amazing how many women don't know that their clitoris has two legs that wrap around the vagina. How many women don't know about their G-spot or that they can have a female ejaculation.
Yes.
And how many men don't know that they can have a full-body orgasm,
right.
a multiple orgasm, and a non-ejaculatory orgasm.
Mm-hmm.
So part of it is educating people, giving them the kind of education they aren't getting anywhere else, unless they do years of research like I did.
I know. And, you know, I run into people who are... Well, we did a story last week about... Yeah. An area in Spain that has decided to teach masturbation children.
Cool.
And I thought this was the best thing in the world. And we had a guest who was so against it. I mean, violently. This is something that should be taught in the home. And I said, but it never is.
Uh-huh.
And his reply was, well, that's beside the point. And I said, no, that is the point.
Uh-huh.
That really is the point.
I want to sign up for this class.
No, things like this need to be taught.
Yeah.
And, because if you don't, you have a skewed idea of what sex is.
Yeah.
And we won't even get into the religious aspect of it, of what's good and bad and dirty and evil and all of that, and how that screws people up. So,
well, the other side of it is, you know, I've heard of so many married couples that when they first got together, they were both virgins,
mm-hmm.
very inexperienced. And I even read where they, you know, one couple mistook that the man was supposed to insert into the woman's anus, and that was intercourse.
Oh, my goodness.
And had no concept.
Well, that must have been unpleasant for her at first.
I think it depends how he went approached it. I think if he was gentle and
my sad. Goodness.
But
that is weird. Yeah, uh-huh. but if you're not taught,
if you're never taught, and they were from very religious,
mm-hmm.
fundamentalist type families.
Yep. Yep, I don't want that taught in the schools. We'll teach them at home, but they don't do it.
Yeah, and so nobody sat down and said, yeah, you stick yours and hers. And
yeah, and nobody said that.
Yeah.
You're just instinctively supposed to know this?
Yeah.
No, sex education is not instinctive. We're not born with that knowledge.
And so that's part of why I put together this educational component of Temple.
Yeah.
To help educate people about their sexual bodies, because so many people don't know and have no clue on certain aspects of human sexuality.
You bet.
And there's so many, and it's not just about genitals, it's about erogenous zones.
That's right.
Learning how to be able to touch and communicate. I think communication is one of the big keys. So many people are unable to talk about what they want, what they desire, and share that with their intimate partner.
That's right, because when you're a teenage boy, and I'm saying this because I am a male and I can't speak for females, it's all about the dick.
Yeah.
And if you don't get educated about sex, it remains that way the rest of your life, and you miss out on so much.
Oh yeah.
And I tell your whole body can be in erogenous zone.
I think I was lucky because I had a girlfriend early on that liked sucking my toes.
Ah.
And that was one of the most erotic experiences. And it was a form of foreplay.
Yes,
got
exactly.
Got us both turned on.
Yes.
And excited.
There you go.
And
you just never know.
Yeah. So there's so much you can learn mm-hmm. about the body that, and, I've read, I'm amazed at how other cultures have treated sexuality.
Some good, some bad.
Some good, some bad.
And you're always surprised at where the good ones are.
Yeah. But, reading the Kama Sutra is basically not just a sex manual, but a manual on how to make the transition from child to adult.
Mm-hmm.
And it addressed sexuality. It addressed many things about how to grow up to be a good person.
Ah.
And so it was a very inclusive manual.
Yeah.
Why we don't have something like that in our culture? Because the sex is so bad and evil.
Exactly. Exactly.
I do want to kind of shift back towards polyamory.
Yes.
A bit.
Yeah, because I think we have a lot of listeners who aren't exactly sure what that means.
Yeah. In a polyamorous relationship, basically, I've been living in one since my early 20s, mm-hmm. one or another. For the most part, I was married for about 10 years, but we were still poly.
Mm-hmm.
But that became a problem later on.
Yeah.
Because the person I was with wanted a more monogamous type relationship.
After you got into it, yeah.
Right. Thought, well, we can change this.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of people that do want to get into a polyamorous relationship.
And people, it just kind of happens.
Yeah. One of the misconceptions with polyamory is that there's no commitment.
Oh, that's not true.
And that's one of the things, I've seen it over and over again. I think it's real helpful to come up with a polyamorous commitment.
Mm-hmm.
That way you kind of get real clear on the guidelines, what you agree upon, the do's and don'ts, no matter what form of polyamory
It would help. You know, mine came kind of gradually and kind of naturally. It just kind of happened.
Yeah.
And so there was never ground rules laid out.
Yeah.
It just kind of happened. I met my lover of 31 years at a time when he had broken up with his past boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
And as I was getting to know him, he and his boyfriend had started talking again, and
yeah.
So both relationships were growing.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point he came to me and said, "Do you want me to stop seeing David?"
Mm-hmm.
And I said, "I think you should do what you think is right." And he continued to see David and mm-hmm. continued to see me, and I stayed with the relationship because I thought that was a very honest thing for him to do. And
mm-hmm.
it also showed to me that when he committed, he committed
yeah.
to
yeah.
a relationship. And so it just, like I said, just kind of grew that way.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, in this case, David and I do not get along well.
Yeah.
So... But you know,
but that's not necessary.
We all live separately, so
yeah.
it
can be a very successful
yes.
relationship.
Yes,
for
it is.
Each party involved,
especially since yeah, David's in Seattle.
And yeah,
that works out very well.
Yeah, and you know, it's all relationships should have some kind of commitment.
Yes.
The commitment, what you agree to commit on, can vary from yeah. one type of relationship.
For us, we're all very independent people.
Yeah.
So we like our time alone. It works out well.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we, you know, when I'm with Stanley, I mean, it's all nice, good quality time. So.
Yeah. Before I get too much into how to do it...
But that... But that's only one...
Yeah.
One example of a myriad forms of polyamory can exist.
Yes. One thing, I think there's a couple of key components that's helpful in forming a polyamorous relationship.
Okay.
The first is having a solid commitment.
Mm-hmm.
Honesty, trust, devotion, and love, I think, are all key elements.
Absolutely.
You know.
Just like any other relationship.
Yeah. And also good communications.
It has to be better than good.
Oh, yeah.
Actually. Because you've got three or more people involved mm-hmm. in this relationship.
Yeah.
And so everybody has to be on the same wavelength or you're going to have big problems.
Yeah. So with that in mind, I developed a polyamory commitment worksheet
okay.
for people to use.
Oh.
And basically what I did was each person in the poly relationship, the primary relationship,
mm-hmm.
and let me kind of step back a minute and kind of define what primary and secondary means.
Okay.
Primary means that's your main partner or partners. So those are the ones that you're...
Because a poly usually starts with two.
Yeah,
and
two
then,
or three.
And then gains one or...
Yeah.
Okay.
Or you can have secondary where, like in my case, I meet people through temple.
Oh, I get it. Okay.
That I have short-term relationships
yeah.
or not at the same deep level
yeah.
with my primaries.
Well, right. Okay.
So a primary is someone that you're really committed to. That's who you form the commitment to. The secondaries, there's a type of commitment. You know, I inform them that, yeah, I'm in a polyamorous relationship
mm-hmm.
with some people. I've got a boyfriend of 25 years,
yeah.
25, 30 almost. And then my current partner that I live with, we've been together over about 15 years.
At least.
Yeah,
ever since
15.
I've known you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, poly relationships can work, but it does take work
yes,
and communications.
Yes, it does. Yeah.
one of the things a lot of times we're afraid to talk about certain things with partners that can become critical. So what I do is I've, when I'm working with people that want to build a poly commitment, what I do is I have them fill out this sheet individually, separately, and then come together and share the information together.
Okay.
And then you can decide, you know, what's...
Determine where you need to work on.
Yeah.
Yeah, because what's on the sheet?
What's going to form this relationship? Well, the first is desired personal freedoms, activities and types of relationships you want to have with secondary partners.
Okay.
Sex with men, sex with both, sex with women, oral sex, anal sex, different, you know, screw buddies.
Uh-huh.
If you want to get into sex magic, BDSM play, anonymous sex, erotic massage, lovemaking.
Oh, I see.
What are the elements you want to include
yes.
in the secondaries?
Okay.
And then what are the items you want and desire from your primary partner?
Okay.
And that can go into everything from trust, living together or not living separately, sexual bonding, spiritual bonding, emotional bonding, foreplay, and a very in-depth discussion. You know, you want to get into an in-depth discussion. What does my partner want from me in foreplay?
Mm-hmm.
What do I want from my partner in foreplay?
Okay.
Because we all have things that are going to turn us on and turn us off.
That's true.
What commonly happens in a lot of relationships is we project what we want into our partner and think, oh, if I like it, my partner's going to like it. And nothing can be further from the truth.
Or I'm going to do this because I know my partner likes it,
yeah.
even though I'm not too thrilled with it.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you want to get some communications going up front and say, you know, this is part of my commitment to you is to be able to provide you with the things you need and be able to get the things I need from you.
You bet.
And that's a type of commitment. So it goes through a whole list of stuff. I'm not going to read the entire list.
Okay.
But I
see that. All the different qualities, all the different things.
And there can be more things than just on this list.
Sure.
And then I go into boundaries.
Okay.
Setting boundaries, personal boundaries. The first one is a safer sex pact with primary partner. Are you and your primary going to be fluid bonded where you practice safe sex with everybody else, but you can be, you know, practice sex without any barriers with your primary?
Well, if you have an open sexual relationship, then that's going to take a lot of trust.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, to have it barrier-free with just the two of you.
Or it may be that with your primary, everybody practices safe sex.
Yeah.
But those are things you need to...
You need to talk about. You have to talk about it.
Be clear and upfront.
You bet. And then do it.
Yeah. And then another boundary is restrictions I want my primary partner to follow in their secondary sexual relations.
Ah, okay. Things that if your partner is having sex outside the relationship.
Who's candidates and who's not.
Yeah, yeah.
What's fair?
Men only or women only or only on Friday nights, or
yeah, you have to date them before you know.
I have to meet them first, or I don't want to know anything about it, or
exactly,
yeah.
So all that needs to be kind of ironed out,
sure.
Because and this will avoid a lot of the pitfalls down the road. Because if you don't communicate those things and you just make assumptions, somewhere you're going to go wrong.
And you've got to be honest with it. Because, you know, if you say, if you go into this saying, oh, that's not going to bother me, and then it happens and it bothers you, then you weren't honest to begin with.
Yeah.
And that's not fair to your partner.
Yeah. And then the next section is restrictions I plan to follow in secondary relationships.
Okay.
And then when you get together and you list all those. And then some things I would add to this sheet would be, one section I would add is, how are we going to work around jealousy if it comes up?
Oh, yeah. Jealousy,
you know,
usually
inform each other.
Jealousy,
discuss these things.
To my way of thinking and my experience. So that's, I mean, it's not the end all be all. Jealousy usually occurs when people are not really secure in the relationship.
Yeah. And
if you don't believe that your lover loves you, then jealousy is going to arise.
And one thing me and Jay learned a long time ago is that a lot of times jealousy is based because we believe in the monogamous relationship style so deeply. And in monogamy, if your partner sleeps with someone else, they're cheating.
Yeah.
And if they get caught, they're probably going to leave you.
Yeah.
And so that mindset's in there, maybe subconsciously. And that's, I think, the breeding ground for jealousy.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, it's like a fear
yes.
of loss or potential loss.
You have to make sure your partner knows that your heart is with them.
Yeah. And then the beauty of polyamory that me and my partner found was that, no, we're not going to leave each other. We may bring some more people into the primary.
Exactly. Exactly. And that can happen. And that can happen. As long as everybody's okay with that.
Yeah.
Both parties, yeah. All three parties, whatever.
Yeah. And like my boyfriend, the three of us have gotten together at times.
Okay.
And that's been wonderful. And then there's times
every bisexual man's dream to be in bed with a man and a woman at the same time.
Oh, and what's even best is to be in the middle.
Oh, yeah.
Well, actually, I also enjoyed when she was in the middle.
Ah.
And we were both doing her.
Oh, my.
But there is a whole different dynamic that occurs because you're not only having sex with the person in the middle, but you're having sex through their body with the person on the other end.
Absolutely.
And that creates quite an interesting, well, wonderful energy exchange between all three.
Yeah.
I know when I've been in the middle, I could feel both their energies going into me
sure.
and through me to each other. And it was just amazing.
See, well, you're edging on the sacred sex again.
Oh, yes.
Yes, okay.
Well, that's very sacred.
Yeah.
But anyway, I think that those are the elements to really building a very secure commitment that will really help get everybody on the same
sure.
page and avoid...
I know we both have colds.
Yeah. Avoid a lot of the pitfalls that can come about.
You bet. You bet.
And that's partly why I designed this, was that there are so many pitfalls.
So if you're out there thinking about a poly relationship, talk to Gigi first. Let Gigi sit down with you and your partners and kind of figure this thing out.
Yeah.
He's got the worksheets to do it.
Yeah. And, you know, these worksheets just didn't come up randomly. I've been to conferences, by conferences. I've been to workshops.
I know.
Polyamory. And this is information I've kind of pulled together over the years. What works in polyamorous relationships?
Because I'm hearing more and more about people involved in polyamory.
Yeah.
And polyamory. Polyamory and polyamorous relationships.
Yeah.
That's two different things.
And instead of jumping in and going, you know, trying to navigate your way in the dark, why not have some road maps?
Absolutely.
And that's what this is a road map.
Okay.
It kind of sets up the stage for success instead of just fumbling around in the dark with a hit or miss approach.
I get it. Yeah. I'm trying to gauge when we're going to end, and we're going to do a little mini roundtable here.
Oh, okay.
Okay, because
yeah.
I know that Chris had a couple
of
things.
Well, we can wrap it up.
Okay. But I really enjoyed this discussion because you laid out some basics,
uh-huh.
and I think there's room for more discussion on polyamory. Because
oh, definitely.
Polyamory is like a spectrum.
Oh, yeah.
Like the term transgender. You know, it covers a myriad of forms. Mm. So does polyamory.
Yeah, and I've seen many different forms of polyamorous successful relationships.
Yes.
I know of some that have been going on for 25, 30, 40 years.
Amazing.
That have been very highly successful. But the keys, some of the key components are good communications, trust,
you
love,
bet.
This, and a commitment.
You bet.
A deep commitment to all the parties involved.
Okay. Well, JG, thank you.
Yeah.
I'm glad you brought that this month.
Yeah, I thought it was time to revisit this.
Okay. Wes?
Ah.
Hello, Wes. How you doing?
Is it time for the dildo song?
Is it time for the dildo song?
Excuse me. There we go. Awesome. Yeah, it's all queued up. I'm here.
Okay.
Well, I think the dildo song is most appropriate for this.
Yes.
So, all right, let me bring it on. Let's see.
What rolls downstairs, a loner in pairs, and makes a buzzity sound? It's long, a schlong, a marvelous dong.
Everyone knows it's dildo.
What fits in a sock feels better than cock. And unlike a man, it's slow. It vibrates a bit, feels great on your clit.
Everyone knows it's dildo.
It's dildo, it's dildo. It's big, it's fleshy, it's ripped.
It's dildo, it's dildo.
Yes, that's right, it's ripped. What fits in your cracks, some even have sacks. The penis you don't have to blow. They're not just for gays, they use double A's.
Everyone knows it's dildo.
A dildo dog, a dildo plane, many more vibrating toys. You turn the knob, they buzz and throb, feels great in girls and boys.
Yes, that's right, folks. Dildo brand dildos aren't just for women anymore. We also make a long line of butt plugs, 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 plugs.
What makes you come and fits in your bum, some of them even can glow. A dink in marvelous pink.
Everyone knows it's dildo.
A long fleshy tube, use oil-based lube, not just for the neighborhood hoes. For a girl on the go with no time for a boat, it makes for a perfect fellow.
They're dildos,
the sex toys that everyone likes.
They're dildos,
for gay men and even for dykes.
All right, we are back. Sorry about that. I'm still hearing the song going, and it's the 8-second delay. I'm hearing it in the lobby.
Oh, oh my!
That'll get you every time.
Yeah, that's the fun part is because we've got two radios in here that play live, and then we've got another couple in here that play on the 8-second delay, and one of them is here in the lobby, and so I'm hearing that one. I'm going, why am I still hearing dildo? I know it's an obnoxious song to continue. That's not what we're covering. Don't worry, Jimmy.
Yeah.
It's nice to find you. It's cute. All right, well, it's time for roundtable, and just to cover our asses on certain parts, or cover mine, please remember. That's a lot. Yeah, it is. Yeah, two of their mics were pulled down. Remember, anything we say during the roundtable is the views and the opinions of the person who says that, not anyone else. So when you go after somebody, you know who to go to. My name is Chris Arison, so remember my voice.
Oh, God.
Yes?
Yes.
What do you got this time?
Starting off with news out of Langham Creek High School. A Langham Creek High School's freshman said he was a victim of a hate crime speaking out. Jaron Martin said he begged two principals at his school and a bus driver for help before he was repeatedly hit with a metal pipe. Martin said the help never came. He said it took a neighbor with a shotgun to stop the beating. They didn't do anything, said Martin. They never called me down or nothing. This attack happened on November 12th near the 1600 block of Langham Miss Lane. According to the 16-year-old student, the attack took place off campus. He said a fellow student beat him after school while eight others stood around and watched. Martin believes he was beaten because he was gay. All they kept saying was, we're going to get you, we're going to fight you, and all that. And so they started coming after me, and they were like, you're not going to be gay anymore. They just kept hitting me, he said. Hours before the incident, Martin said a friend told him a group was planning to attack him. The teen said he talked with two administrators about his concerns. The administrators took a written statement from him. I sat down in the cafeteria and I started writing the letter so that I handed it to them and they said, we'll call you down and stuff like that. Martin said he was never called to the office. The administrators didn't even call his mother. At the end of the school day, Martin said he rode the bus home. The group threatening Martin was riding the same bus. Martin said he told the bus driver, but nothing happened. The teen said the group ran after him after he got off the bus. You don't understand. I was running for my life and nobody was like there at all. No one was doing anything for me. Martin said the group chased him. He ran into one of the neighbor's homes. While there, Martin said one of the teens beat him for 7 minutes with a pipe.
Good Lord.
He said the attack didn't stop until the man who lives in that home came downstairs. Then the man came down with a shotgun. He was like, y'all need to stop. Y'all need to stop. And the boy wouldn't stop, and he just kept hitting me and hitting me. So he cocked his gun, and that's when they left.
Jesus.
Harris County Sheriff's Office deputies arrested the 16-year-old who beat Martin. The accused teen is facing aggravated assault charges. The case is in the juvenile court system, and those records are sealed. No other arrests have been made at this time. On Wednesday, Cyfair School District officials said they've launched an investigation. They placed the bus driver on administrative leave with pay, pending the outcome of the investigation. They're also reviewing the actions of the assistant principal. I'm disgusted, said the teen's mother, Lakenia Martin. I'm sorry after the fact doesn't do it. The school district let us down. I mean all of us down, because it could have been anyone's kid. The Cyfair mother says she wants to move away from the neighborhood and out of the school district. When the child does what he's supposed to do and the adults don't do what they're supposed to say, how does it make you feel comfortable? How do you give him back that sense of security? Martin suffered a concussion. He also has cuts and bruises on his arms and hands and does not want to return to school. Meanwhile, the Martin family has retained an attorney and is considering a civil lawsuit.
Good.
They should get it.
The interesting part with this also is that a report came out that the following week another student had been attacked at this school. And it's kind of fuzzy on the information about this, if the second student that was assaulted was a friend or of the victim or was one of the eight who stood by and watched. I'm familiar with this area. I've got family that lives in this area. There are gang problems in this school district. One thing is that they got me as a woman who's reportedly a mother of some of the kids at Langham Creek, posted on this, the Channel 11 website, and mentioned the fact that the kids who were the victims in these two attacks were not exactly innocent. And that the fact that Jaron Martin was supposedly hitting on some kids. And, you know, telling Channel 11, you need to get both sides of the story.
Is this the old homosexual panic defense?
Yeah, that's...
Haven't we heard that before?
Yeah, and, you know, I'm expecting that, since the victim in this lived, I guess the attacker is only going to be able to get a guest shot on a radio show, not a full hosting position from that.
Ouch.
In related news, John Bice was up for parole again on Tuesday. Parole hearing was held on Tuesday for a man who killed Paul Broussard in the Montrose area 18 years ago. It was the fourth parole hearing for John Bice, who was serving a 45-year prison sentence for Paul Broussard's murder. Broussard's mother, Nancy Rodriguez, is fighting to keep Bice in prison. Last year, Local 2, this is KPRC Channel 2, investigative reporter Amy Davis aired a story of how Bice is using a former parole board insider to help get him out. Broussard's mother said she planned to show the story to the parole board. In 1991, 10 males pretty much the same gang it was in out in Langham Creek, including Vice attacked Paul Broussard, 27, and two other men as they left a gay nightclub in the Montrose. Broussard was beaten and stabbed to death. Texas law allows for victims' families to address parole board members. They also have latitude to hear from defendants' relatives. The decision should be coming up in a couple of weeks. Sadly, because of their lack of other gay media, we didn't know about this until after the fact. Some people in the gay in the activist community online actually found it first by reading the Dallas Voice in covering the story. I only found articles about this on Channel 2, and suppose there was another article on Fox 26's website. Nothing on the other media of 1113 or even the Chronicle on that, even though they're still talking about 2 weeks ago when Cheney decided he's going to endorse Kay Bailey Hutchinson.
Who cares?
But, you know, and because I think it's well known that I have talked about this case enough and expressed my opinion on this case. Once again, we've got someone, and, you know, I know we've got a lot of MBBs, Men Behind Bars, that listen to our show. But, you know, you do the crime, you do the time. I'm sorry John Bice is still in prison. I'm sorry he's the only one still in prison. There should have been others in there with him. And the fact that we didn't know about this coming up again until after the fact was a little upsetting. But that's unfortunate of what the cards we get dealt in this situation. We'll keep an eye out for it and see what the results are on that. And I know other programming keeps a closer eye on these stories of events, and you may hear news one way or another over there. Most assuredly. But keep an eye out for these kind of things. I know the Langham Creek story did make our other news source, Toll the Road, that we use. I'm not sure if the Broussard story made it up there. They've also been covering the Anise Parker story.
I saw where one of the anti-gay activists was passing out flyers against Anise Parker.
Yeah, I saw the picture of that. You know, Dalton DeHart needs to sue those guys for using his photo without his permission.
I got one in the mail.
They at least gave him the credit for it when they stole it from the Houston Voice.
Yeah.
Article. They left the part on there where he gets credit for it, but it's like, I don't think Dalton really wants to be in the position of
no.
No. But then speaking of the Houston Voice, apparently. We didn't get the news here in Houston that the Houston Voice was still publishing until last week.
What?
The nation's largest publisher of newspapers serving the gay and lesbian community shut down last week. Laura Douglas Brown, the editor of the Southern Voice newspaper in Atlanta, said she arrived to work on Monday to find the locks changed and a note saying parent company Window Media LLC had closed down. She said the company's other publications, including the Washington Blade, Houston Voice, and South Florida Blade, were also being closed.
Houston Voice has been out of print for a while, hasn't it?
It's been out of print. Their website was active, and basically they covered stories. You know, they brought in national stories from others there. From my understanding, there's just no more room to keep these companies running, she said in a telephone interview as she sat with her former employees outside of their locked Atlanta office. We've all been told the companies would be sold. The fact that we were shut down was a complete shock. The Washington Blade is the oldest running GLBT newspaper in the country.
Yeah.
There is some good news out of this, though. Starting next week, you will be able to pick up the DC Agenda. Former staff of the Washington Blade remains united, and the DC Agenda represents our effort at the continuation of the important mission and work of the Blade. It'll grow and evolve to include a much larger, more diverse group of voices, but the core of the Washington Blade's work remains unchanged. So the Blade will now be becoming the DC Agenda. And in Florida, the South Florida Blade, same situation, came to work, found the door closed, said, you can't go in, we're done. But the South Florida, which did, in South Florida, which had the South Florida Blade and its sister publication, 411 Magazine, will be changing names, and 411 Magazine is now going to be called Mark's List Magazine. which is a an online service that's in that area that owns them. And the Blade will also be renamed and then published every other week. So no word on Atlanta, and no word on what we're going to hear here in Houston, apparently, because we still have a newspaper. another quick two little quickies here. Teacher accused of putting a hit on a student. This is from Clayton County, Georgia. A local teacher was arrested on suspicion of putting a hit on one of his students. Randolph Ford, a 10th grade teacher at Monday's Mill High School in Clayton County, is accused of trying to persuade another student to kill a 16-year-old boy. Ford was charged after officers said he held up a piece of paper with the alleged victim's name on it, saying he had a hit on him. The student's mother said her son came home frightened when he found out. He said, "Molly, you're not going to believe it. Mr. Ford offered another student money to kill me." The mother told Channel 2 over there that she was shocked when her 16-year-old son told her that his substitute math teacher was hiring a hitman to kill him. "I was extremely upset. I called the school at the moment." Her attorney said the incident began when Ford called the student out of the classroom one day. The teacher asked him if he was gay. Madden said the student became angry at the suggestion, and the next day the two had a verbal altercation. Weeks later, Ford got a Monday Mills student off a school bus and told him he had a hit on somebody and needed to take care of him. Officer said the student was asked who it was, and Ford said he would let him know. The teacher held up a piece of paper with the victim's name on it. The teacher was arrested and faced making terroristic threat charges. He could lose his job.
He should.
Yeah.
Does that mean he'll be prosecuted under the new...
new hate crime.
The new hate crime laws?
Hard to say. His attorney said that Ford was joking and never gave anyone a name.
Yeah, now he backtracks.
Yeah. I can smell it all the way from here.
Yeah. A personnel hearing is scheduled for Tuesday. Currently, he's on paid administrative leave.
That seems to be a running theme.
Yeah.
And our final story here real quick, ladies and gentlemen, because we here at KPFT believe in recycling. Good news for you. You can now recycle your old sex toys.
Oh, wow. Yay.
Finally, there's an environmentally friendly way to dispose of our used or broken vibrators, dildos, plugs, or any other sex toy you may have. Our sex toy recycling program offers you a way to recycle sex toys that you no longer want or use. Simply drop your clean used toys in the mail, and we'll receive them in our warehouse. We'll have them clean and